everyone. Welcome in to Saturday morning here at 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Jamie Lynch in with Andrew Salchunas. We got Josh Raybeck in studio producing with us. Hope everybody, first and foremost, is staying occupied, safe, clean, all that stuff. Andrew, you walked in today looking like a sloven bum that hasn't showered in a week. What the hell did you do last night?
Well, first of all, I'm the only person that's in here 5 hours a day during the week. So, you know, I'm not taking care of myself.
No, you're not.
last night, I just, you know, I went on a little bit of a bender. That's all.
The quarantine benders are... It always starts off at like, well, it hits me around like 3 where I'm like, because my bedtime's, you know, I've been working from home this week, so I'm going to bed a little later, but not much. I'm going to bed 9:30 maybe. So like 3 o'clock, I'm always like, ooh, I want a beer. And then that beer tastes delicious because of all the anxiety of our situation in the real world.
Yeah, it calms you down a little bit.
And then I'm like, oh, a second beer. I saw Chris Long tweet last night about it, and it was basically one or two beers really turns into 9 units of alcohol rather quickly in a pandemic. And I was like, I feel you, Chris.
Well, I mean, everybody is living life the same way right now. I haven't seen my friends in... long time.
Are you doing the Zoom hangouts, happy hours?
No, we did the Xbox Live. Dusted it off yesterday.
Okay, nice.
And we all had a couple beers while we were playing, and then a couple beers turned till 3 in the morning.
What game were you playing?
Oh, Call of Duty.
The new one?
No. Dude, come on. I have Xbox 360, dude.
I'm impressed you can get that.
Too.
But Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
I'm impressed you can get that online. Good job.
I mean, I've been playing since I was like in middle school.
So,
I got the giant mug of coffee.
Yeah, you walked in your slippers and sweats, and you just get it together, man. You still got a wife at home.
Ashmila Lietova. I love Lithuania.
That's great. It's a big
mug.
That's
what my mug says.
It's a nice mug. So, yeah. It's been a while.
Eagles.
No, you shut the hell up. It's been a wild week. I did something I never thought I'd do in sports radio, and that was work from home.
How was that?
Weird.
I bet.
Because we're on Zoom, looking at each other, trying to time when you're going to talk.
Right.
And you don't know when to jump in, when not to. You kind of wait for it to come to you. And Mark did a great job. I mean, considering, you know, it's a 5-person remote all from each other's houses. It was rather strange.
Yeah, and plus for you being, how long have you been a producer?
I've been in this industry now, like probably 13 years.
So how weird is it not being behind a board?
Oh,
you and I host shows. We do Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
And then we filled in random times. But your daily Monday through Friday job is the producer of the morning show.
I never thought I'd work from home in radio ever.
You're used to being in another room.
Yep.
Everybody else is in one room. You're in the opposite room. Now everybody's in different rooms, and you're not pushing any buttons.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do it because I'm a control freak. I talked about it with Anthony during middays earlier this week. I'm a control freak. I don't think I could work from home.
Yeah, it was weird. I felt like I tried to do as much work as possible, you know, obviously, but I did feel a loss of control. But, you know, I'll be back in the studio on Monday, so looking forward to trying to return to some normalcy. It's a strange world right now. You know, we take a walk every day just to get out and about with our daughter because she loves being outside. So, you know, and to keep our sanity and just walking around and seeing the city as a ghost town. People are out and there's a basketball court by my house that's getting way too much activity that makes me angry every day.
Same.
These people need to stop. But it's very bizarre. It's eerie. It's creepy. And I haven't been... basically a slave to the TV, which I'm very thankful for. And having an 11-month-old daughter will keep you entertained for a little while there. So I have watched a little bit of The Tiger King, which is captivating.
Finished it last night.
Did you?
At 4 in the morning.
Oh, wow. See, I'm only on episode 3. I'm still way behind. We started an episode of Ozark last night. Is that returned? Did you ever get into Ozark?
No, I did not.
That'd be a good one to binge.
Okay. I'll check it out. It's only season 3, right? So I'm not like eight seasons back.
No, you only have 2 seasons to catch up on. So I haven't been a slave to the TV too much, which is really nice, because I feel like that's coming.
Yeah, no, it's already there in my household, and the problem is...
So what does Chrissy watch?
That's the problem.
Oh, because, she one of these Vanderpump Rules gals?
Well, no, it's not that, but so she's working front lines, being a nurse.
Yeah, how's she doing, actually? I meant to ask you off air.
You know, she's working.
Is her hospital getting hit?
She's working.
Whew.
Today. And dealing with it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I got some friends up in New York that are nurses. We should do that here. We should do a little GoFundMe and send them lunch one day.
That'd be cool. We're doing an awesome thing with the station too.
Yeah,
Operation Health Heroes.
So yeah, we'll that's very that cool. We'll hit on that. But we sent some friends in New York. The whole floor of nurses. We sent them lunch one day. Me and my buddies from college.
It's good work by you.
Yeah, so we should try and do that for Christy and her nurse friends over there.
More so her friends, not her. Anyways, she comes home and, you know, she's stressed out, right? Just like everybody else is in the world, but she's front line, so she's a little more stressed out. So she gets home, or even when she's not working, it's, can we just watch something funny? And I'm like, all right, Tiger King for me. And she goes, oh, the animals. I've watched The Office every day.
Yeah.
For the last 2 weeks, and I love The Office. It's my favorite, like, all-time show. I can't watch it.
Yeah.
Because that's all she's watching.
You know what was awesome last night that I was thankful for? Because I watched the press, the daily press conference at 5 or 5:30, whatever the hell it is. Who cares? Right. It's all, everything's running together anymore. Comedy Central had the Chappelle Show marathon on. And I was like,
that's cool.
I was, that was when I was in college. That was in my wheelhouse. That's one of my all-time favorite shows.
He's a habitual line stepper.
So I just zoned out on some Chappelle Show last night.
Yeah, that'll take some time.
Yeah. You guys becoming great chefs at home? What are you doing there? No? You still eating cold food like a psycho?
No, she's doing a great job. I'm just, I'm not the best cook.
Well, this is a good time to get better, Andrew.
Yeah,
follow a recipe, man. It's not hard.
Okay. Let her keep doing her thing. She's good at it. I have to cook tonight.
And what are you cooking?
I think fajitas.
All right. You can't screw that up.
No, I can't. Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
I'll end up ordering out.
So it's just been weird. I mean, that's the best way to describe it. Everything is weird. I'm trying to support our local, places that are doing the curbside pickups and stuff like that. We're doing our best there, and it's just weird. Like, yesterday I went to go get us hoagies at this place called Ricci's Hoagies, which is awesome, on 11th Street. And they have the door closed off, and the guy's coming to the door and getting you your stuff and running your card, and all these people are standing outside on the curb just waiting. It's so surreal. Like, I feel like I'm living in a movie.
Yeah. You, every day I wake up and I go, is this real? Every day.
Yeah.
This hasn't become normal
to me yet. No, not at all. The one day I'm watching the news and it's like, oh, well, England's on lockdown and Boris Johnson has it and a Navy hospital ship is cruising into L.A. And I'm like, is this a end of world like movie we're watching? Like, I feel like I'm in a movie watching the news of the world just like going nuts. And I'm like, all right.
I keep on saying I'm going to watch Outbreak.
That movie messed me up as a kid because I saw that when it first came out and I loved it, but it freaked me out. Have you ever seen it?
I've never seen it.
Oh.
And I thought, you know what? This would be a good time to see it.
No, no, no.
And I've chickened out every time.
Don't do it.
I'm like, all right, Tiger King looks a little more interesting.
Yeah, stick with the Tigers. But that movie, because it's so realistic, it bugged me out as a kid.
Wow. All right. Yeah. I'll probably watch it.
You should. Well, I mean, it's a really good movie. The cast is awesome. But yeah, it's just been a weird week out there. Hopefully everybody's staying safe and staying clean and yada, yada, yada. Keeping yourself occupied. You know, the unemployment rate is a terrifying thing.
Yeah.
It's on top of, just the overall, virus going around out there. I was, however, now we'll dive into the little bit of sports we do have. I was, however, thankful that the NFL... And we'll get into the Roger Goodell threatening letter.
Oh, my God, dude.
Basically.
What a pig head. He didn't write it, but what a pig head.
Yeah, I mean, dictator much. Jeez. I am selfishly thankful that we've had the NFL and NFL news to kind of at least distract us for a little bit. Now, if I had to ask you today on March 28th, free agency is not over. Obviously, draft is yet to come. How would you grade the Eagles offseason right now? A through F. You can do plus minuses if you choose. Just what does your gut say? Don't think too hard about it. Just what does your gut? Just shoot from the hip.
Well, here's I'll go somewhere in the B range because I didn't want them to really make that big of a splash. Like I'd rather them build a wide receiver through the draft. I was upset as all get out about the DeAndre Hopkins thing just as much as the next.
I have a theory on that.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing that.
We'll get into that later because that's one of the things we're going to get into.
But, I was pretty bummed out when I saw what Arizona gave up. And I was like, all right, we couldn't have given that up here.
That's where my theory comes in.
That's your theory.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. They don't get DeAndre Hopkins. The whole people going nuts about Rashad Perriman. I know he's a wide receiver.
Yeah.
It's better than what you have here. But
well, the thing is, anything's better.
Picks now.
Anything's better.
So am I really going to pay $8, $9 million for Breshad Perriman? Would you just pay $9 million last year for Nelson Agholor? I'm not comparing the two, but it's not like Breshad Perriman's a number one receiver. It's not like he's the most dependable number two. He had a nice season last year. The years before that was kind of non-existent.
Well, and the other thing is he's a walking injury prone
guy. Yeah, he balled out on his contract year. Congratulations. That's what a lot of players do.
You bring him in and he gets hurt, you know, game four, you're back in the same exact situation you were a year ago.
Right, exactly.
Where everything just crumbles.
Yeah.
So I'm not shedding any tears for Breshad Perriman. No, Robbie Anderson, I didn't really like that much.
I did, but it's more so bias, Temple bias.
Oh, yeah. Your cherry and your white shining through.
The thing is, he's kind of like DeSean Jackson. Right, like they're
but without as good of hands.
Yeah, exactly. It's go downfield. Now Anderson's a little more healthier because he's younger. But,
yeah,
and you can expect DeSean Jackson miss some games this season.
That's what you just hit on the key word, younger, and it's pretty clear now through free agency. Look, well, maybe they take a shot on a DeMarcus Robinson type. You know, he's still 25 years old. Doesn't have the best hands in the world. He's a speedster. He's going to be cheap. You know, maybe something like that happens. But it appears their wide receiver plans lie in the draft.
Yeah, because, you know, you're the Alshon Jeffrey thing, you're already
that's another thing we'll get into. Broke my brain a little bit.
Yeah, it did. But you're old with Alshon Jeffrey. You're old with DeSean Jackson. You're getting older with Zach Ertz. You know, your receivers are old. You're young in J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, but what did he show you last year? He showed you nothing.
Oh, dude, he's a stud.
You're young in Greg. I'm just going to keep going. You're young in Greg Ward, but can you 100% depend on Greg Ward? He showed me that he deserves a roster spot last year, but we'll see. Can he do it over a full course of a season with now tape on the guy as well? We'll see. Right?
Like, I think at best he's earned his spot to fight for that slot receiver position.
Yes, exactly.
In no way is he penciled into a starter, but I think he showed enough where he's, you know, a camp battle that you have to watch.
So, like, we were looking at the Our Lads, the scouting reports.
Ah.
And Justin Jefferson came up.
I like Jefferson.
And Jefferson, they put down as mainly a slot receiver, not an outside guy.
He doesn't have the true speed.
Right. Now, would I prefer a guy like Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy? Yeah, of course, a CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb I would shank you right now for.
I would rather have those three than Justin Jefferson. But if you end up drafting Justin Jefferson with your first-round pick, he's going to be your slot wide receiver, if that is true.
Yeah, so then Greg Ward's...
So sorry, Greg.
...is out.
That's why I'm saying I can't be like, oh, Greg Ward has great 4 weeks at the end of the season.
See,
let's go with him again.
I think their lack of free agency moves at wide receiver has told you one thing. That they're going to be aggressive and they're going to go get one of these top three guys.
Yeah, they're
going
to move up.
I think they're going to move up to 13 because San Francisco has a winning roster as is and they're incredibly draft depleted. They have Indianapolis's pick at 13. And at 13, you should get one of Jeudy or Lamb.
Right.
Because, you know, all the mocks, all the projections don't have anybody taking wide receivers until starting around like 9, 10.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of a run there.
The Cardinals could have been that team because they actually were eighth, but because they traded for DeAndre.
And the Bills were another one, and they got Stephon Diggs.
Right.
So 10 to 15 appears to be where there's going to be a wide receiver run. So I think Howie, look, what are your overall feelings on Howie? Because
I don't hate him. Like
okay, but he still has a lot to prove to you, or are you more of a Howie guy than an anti-Howie guy?
So I go this offseason, I go, you know, B-plus range, because I like what
they
have done, because I'm glad that they didn't overspend on some players. The Hargrave signing was fantastic. I thought that was a great
move. That's going to be real sneaky.
You have a number one corner, finally, by trading for Darius Slayton.
I can't wait.
You didn't give up that much.
No.
And, you know, so you look at the other moves that they've made. It's been, like, small things. They brought some guys back. I am still disappointed about the Malcolm Jenkins thing. I don't think Jalen Mills is a positionless player, as Howie said on the conference call.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
He literally said he's a positionless player. He can play up in the box. No, he can't. Ezekiel Elliott or Saquon Barkley will run right over him.
Well, he is physical. I'll give him that.
Okay, so his best bet is he sort of gets run over by them, and they slow down for somebody else to tackle.
Well, you hope the defensive line is handling the run game for the most part. I mean, you got...
Jalen Mills second level, right?
I know, like, I hear you, but, you know, I got to look it up. What percentage of their cap is invested in the defensive line?
A lot.
It's got to be close to 27-30%.
Fletcher Cox is second highest paid player on
Brandon
the team.
Graham's top Graham five.
He just got a lot last year. Hargrave, he just gave a pretty decent contract.
Malik Jackson's getting $10 million. Derek Barnett's first-round pick money, so I mean, it's probably between 25% and 30% of your overall cap.
Yeah, you have a nice chunk of change in that D-line.
I mean, the one thing we do know about the Eagles is that the defensive line against the run is a monster.
Right.
Like, that's the one constant we know, is the run defense is going to be great. Now you add in Darius Slay and a true number one cornerback. And look, Howie said it in his call this week. It was tough watching us get the ball thrown over our heads all season.
Oh, yeah.
Darius Slay's going to stop that. And, I mean, I think he will. Do you have any concerns about Darius Slay? I know some people are like, well, he had a down year last year.
No. He had a down year playing for Detroit. And plus, it was Pro Football. I hate Pro Football Focus. I hate it so much. It's such a fraudulent organization. Like, that thing should just go away. Because it makes people think that they're good football people.
Yeah. So
I don't know what you're talking about.
Darius Slay is going to improve this defense dramatically. He really is. And then when you look at the moves, I might, depending on the draft, because it's an incomplete grade right now, I might go as far as an A for Howie this offseason. I really like what they've done.
You know, I'm not going A, but...
Well, yeah, I'm not there.
I'm close.
I'm a B-plus right now because I want to see what happens in the draft. I really want CeeDee Lamb. I want CeeDee Lamb so damn bad, I can taste it. And you know, Schefter comes on the morning show every Wednesday, and he's been talking about attacking these wide receivers in the draft. He even said last week with us that he thinks they might take 3 wide receivers. And a lot of people say this is the richest wide receiver draft ever. Now, obviously, the guys have to translate to Sundays, but, you know, skill and depth-wise. Like, there's a guy from Glassboro, Juwan James, the University of Oregon receiver, mm-hmm. played 3 years at Penn State. He's a pretty talented prospect, and he's going to be potentially there in rounds, like, 4 and 5 almost.
Right.
So you're gonna cast a wide lasso here, and you're going to hope that you pull in 2 wide receivers that can help you right away.
Yeah, and you need speed.
Yeah, and the new trend in the NFL is rookie wide receivers can contribute.
Yeah, you saw it last year.
Yeah, everywhere.
Every team except the Eagles.
Yeah, there were 6 rookie wide receivers that like lit the world on fire. So I think Howie knows where the team is, knows what they're going to do, and they're going to invest heavily in wide receiver in the draft. So I think this can be a very exciting offseason. I love the moves that they've made with the defense so far. You know, the Jalen Mills obviously is the biggest question mark.
I love Jalen Mills. You know, we did the post-game show.
But he covered himself by bringing in Will Parks.
Yes, he did. You're right. And
it's a little bit of an insurance policy.
And I like Will Parks for being healthy every single game. He did not miss a game in his 4 years at Denver.
Yeah, except he blew us off on Friday. But
yes, or whatever. But, you know, the Jalen Mills thing, you know, we'll see. I love Jalen Mills more than most Eagles fans, but I have to see him play safety. And he did play safety at LSU, and that's part of the reason why he got drafted. The only reason why he fell to 7th is because he had some off-the-field issues. So I thought a couple of years ago that it would have been a possibility that he could have moved there, either him or Douglas. Of course, Douglas has always been that hot name, moving to safety, and they never did that.
Yeah, we need to bury that one because Russell Douglas is never going to play safety.
That's not going to happen. But I am surprised they went Mills over Maddox. I guess they believe Maddox has more talent covering.
Yeah,
I guess
absolutely.
More so than Mills, and then I guess they think Mills just has that safety mentality better than Maddox or something like that. Even though Maddox looked pretty good his rookie year when he played some time.
I think you're going to see Parks and Mills on the field at the same time. I think because of...
And then you put McLeod kind of in that Jenkins role?
Yeah, in the center fielder. Well, I think Mills will kind of be playing some of the Jenkins role. Like,
I can't see it.
But he doesn't have to worry about double moves. He doesn't have to be worried about getting beat deep. He just has to be a physical player. And he'll probably get jacked up a little bit this offseason. Put on some more muscle. And I don't know. It's an exciting prospect. I think it'll be the best secondary they've had in a long time. And that's even with a huge question mark in Jalen Mills.
Yeah, I mean,
just because of Darius Slay.
Just because of Darius Slay, right.
But when you look at what he's done cap-wise, and we're about to get to Quaz and our man Warren here in a second, but look at these cap numbers, what he's pulled off, you know, and this is why I think, look, Howie has his question marks with draft ability. Everybody knows that. I think it's more specific to wide receiver and cornerback as opposed to general drafting. I think he's pretty good most other places. I think he's pretty bad at wide receiver and cornerback. What he's great at is working the cap. So listen to these cap numbers. So for this season, the additions to the team, Darius Slay, $4.3 million against the cap.
Well, that's his final year deal of Detroit. Right, because he signed the extension. It's not going to hit till next year.
Well,
or has he got a, did he
no,
get a
I
bonus?
Think, I think they restructured it.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's a $4.3 million hit this year. He got $14 million signing bonus, so they were able to work that way. Jalen Mills got $4 million. Hargrave is only $3.4 million against the cap.
And he's going to be a beast.
Yeah. Nate Sudfeld was brought in as the backup for $2 million. Gotta love Nate.
I just,
Okay.
I mean, whatever.
Who is he?
I think they're going to draft somebody late. Whatever.
They did that last year with that Clayton Thorson.
Yeah, that was a disaster. Why would you ever take a Northwestern quarterback?
Jeez. I took him with a it was a fourth round pick.
I think they even... No, they didn't trade up for
it. It was either fourth or fifth round. I'm like, yo, dude.
Did you ever watch a Northwestern game?
Come on.
They're horrible. Rodney McLeod, $1.65 million against the cap. Will Parks, $1.5 million against the cap. Hassan Ridgeway, $1 million against the cap. Nickell Roby Coleman, $1 million against the cap. Eight players for a combined $14.5 million.
No, that's awesome by Howie. But then again, you know.
That's his strong suit. And look, the draft is probably the weak suit.
Yes, but I hope the names that you mentioned, is Rodney McLeod going to make that much of an impact this year? I hope.
I think the thing with safeties is you don't notice the position until you have a bad one. And I don't really think you notice Rodney McLeod screwing up a lot.
I mean, there were some moments last year.
But think about how tough of a spot he's been in the last 2 years. Because Malcolm Jenkins plays like nearly 60, 65% of the snaps in the box.
Yeah, it's pretty much single high all the time.
So he's alone on an island with cornerbacks that can't cover.
Yeah, that's true.
Now imagine Rodney McLeod not having to worry about half the field because Darius Slay's got it on lockdown.
Right.
Rodney McLeod's going to be free for the first time ever. So I'm excited about that. I think that's a good deal. But eight players, $14.5 million. Damn,
that's pretty. No, it's good work by Howie.
And we're not talking about scrub players. I mean, you got Slay and Hargrave, and McLeod.
That'll really make things work out in the draft. Because that's the biggest thing.
Yeah,
it's hitting on these wide receivers, and you know, because I see Warren online, he's upset that they didn't address the wide
receiver
position
in
free agency.
And Quaz, our man here, loves the draft.
Yes, he does.
Let's get to him before we get to this break here first. What's going on, Quaz?
What's going on, the young boys? I got young boys. I love when y'all two together, man. I love
How you holding up, Quaz?
I'm good. You know what? I will say that it really smacked me in the face because, I mean, for a while there, you know, I was able to continue working and then finally, you know, I get the notice I'm down for 3 weeks. I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. I'm serious now,
it's,
you know?
It's scary out there, man.
It really is. And on that note, before we do get into the draft, I do want to say, because my wife making me do this, but no, real talk. Right now, we hear a lot about the doctors and the nurses that's out there on the front lines. I just wanted to give a shout out.
Absolutely.
To not just the doctors and the nurses, and we do appreciate everything they do, but somebody is cleaning those bags.
Oh, yeah, custodians are huge right now.
I mean, somebody is bringing them supplies. Somebody is securing that building.
Any essential workers, Quaz. I mean, think about the people in the grocery stores right now. You know, the CVSs. You know, they're not doing this for the money. They're doing it because, well, one, you know, they do need money, but it's not like they're getting paid six figures. And it's, you know, God bless them. You know, and everybody needs to be nice to people right now, especially in the grocery stores and pharmacies and all the essential shops that are open. You know, we got to get through this together, man.
Definitely. We all, they all are on the front lines. But I just want to go right down in a draft. One thing on Howie, I do believe I speak a little Howie is. All right, so I don't really follow the carrot a lot. His actions and everything shows me that he is definitely going after three receivers in his draft.
Do you think he's moving up like I do?
No, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because same thing that Tuna says, you can't tie up a lot more money in free agency there because you're grabbing three of them. So you're going to add three more to what you already have, and you don't even know if you're going to get rid of Alshon yet. I mean, when that becomes clear, that would help, but right now you got to assume that you're going to eat a lot of Alshon money.
I know, and they still have close to $26 million available under the cap. Part of me thinks Alshon could stay here.
I told y'all that a month ago.
I never thought it was going to be true, but I'm beginning to think it could be true.
It could be. It's cheaper to keep her.
Yeah, maybe Aguilar was the rat this whole time. Who knows?
No, Aguilar was the puppet. No, we got the right rat. Aguilar was just the puppet.
All right.
So we got rid of that.
All right,
that,
so give me your top two wide receivers you want to target at 21 and the second round at 21.
You already know me. I love that, brother. I actually, kicking in with Ant, I kind of understand why he wouldn't want Justin Jefferson because he wants an edge guy, which I completely understand.
Totally.
But I will not give up any more draft currency in this draft because I actually looked at it real closely, and I've been dragging my feet on first rounders because you already know what they are. But Brandon Ayuk is not a bad edge.
Arizona State?
At Arizona State. He is not bad.
You might be able to get him in the second.
It's a lot of people you're going to get in a second. But my draft board looks like I got Brandon Ayuk right there if we just sit there. At 53, you already know I got this safety out of Minnesota, Antoine Winfield.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big Winfield fan.
Despite what we think we got at safety, I'm not so. How Jay-Z said it, we don't believe you. You need more people. Yeah. I don't believe them at safety right now. I think that's on. Now, my non-negotiable, my third round of compensatory pick, non-negotiable. Now, Tunis, I asked you, I'll find out if you've seen them. Did you look at the tape for James Prochet from SMU yet?
Yes, I remember you made me watch it a long time ago. It was weeks ago. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now, would he be a good third round pick?
Are we going receivers every single round?
Yeah.
I'm going. I'm going 21-103, and then my first fourth rounder pick. My first fourth rounder, I'm going to go receiver. So I'm going three receivers between my first four pick. I'm getting three receivers. I'm getting a fleet.
I hear you, Quaz.
Right. And Quaz, we gotta go because we're up against it. Appreciate the call, man.
You gotta draft another position.
No, I'm taking player. Three receivers out of my first five picks.
Okay.
You see a problem with that?
I don't know. I got to think about it.
We'll get into that coming up next. Warren, our buddy in Cherry Hills, upset that they didn't address it in free agency. Pat Burrell's love child is telling me I can't judge the contracts that Howie signed in the first year before they've played. So good times all around. There's some open lines if you want to get in. We're going to talk a lot of Eagles today because football's all we got right now. All we got, all we need. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatics is 9:26.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back in, Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas in with you until 12 today. Working with what appears to be a homeless looking fellow that smells like old Miller Lights. Did I nail it?
Chrissy spilled on me yesterday. And I'm still working.
Get it together, man.
I remember because I drink.
Did you shower this week?
Blueberry Truly.
Ah. That's what she spilled. She's a Truly gal, huh?
Yeah.
What's your go to?
Me?
Beer. Yeah. Like if you're just sitting down with your boys on Xbox Live and I'm
Miller Lite,
man.
Yeah, calm.
I've been since there's no going out, everybody's kind of saving money in a little bit. Like I took a huge hit on daycare, but besides that, I'm not alone in that situation. Yeah, a lot of people out there are screwed. And look, the daycare workers got to get paid, and I understand it. It's just kind of one of those things you got to take and just keep moving.
You're kind
of
like. They're not there.
We actually had to make the decision to pull her out of daycare because my wife's a teacher and neither of us really suspect they're going to go back to school.
Right.
So we couldn't keep paying for 5 months of just holding a spot. So, you know, these are the tough decisions that people have to make out there. So it was rough, but I have been I've been splurging on at-home beer purchases. I've been having a blast.
Have you?
Yeah.
See, we did the bulk. Like 3 weeks ago.
So I have my bulk, cheaper stuff, but then I've been going around to some of my favorite beer stores. I drove over to Tonewood in Oakland, New Jersey the other day, grabbed a case. A buddy of mine opened a brewery up in Fishtown, and all of them are doing curbside, pickups and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're all local small businesses, so, you're trying to support them. A place called Human Robot up in Kensington, Fishtown border. So went up there and grabbed a bunch of 32-ounce crowlers. So my beer selection has been immaculate this week.
There is a brewery near, I forget which one, because there's like three now in Manayunk.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, obviously the brew pub's been there forever.
Yeah.
There's one Wissahickon Brewing Company.
Wissahickon Brewing Company's open. Bald Birds is another one.
Where's that?
It's on Main Street.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's new. And then there's a fourth one that just opened up. I don't even know.
Nice.
I haven't been there yet. But one of the places, I forget which one, is doing the free growler. Like, they'll give you the growler, and then you just pay for the beer.
Oh, yeah, that's
which
great.
Which is smart on their point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, all right.
Because you come back and fill it up again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, good times. Let's talk to our... We're talking a lot of Eagles today because, selfishly, you know, we've at least had free agency and draft preparations. I've been doing the draft game every single day just out of sheer boredom.
I just look at your Twitter. I haven't played it.
I've been watching highlight tapes of a lot of the receivers. Like, the other day, I went down a Jalen Reagor rabbit hole, and he's very exciting.
You're a good football guy.
I'm a bored guy, is what I am.
I'm
not breaking down highlight films. I love college football, and we'll get to what Kirk Herbstreit said later, which was terrifying.
And possible.
Yeah.
People I read some of the comments toward it, and people were, this guy, what are we talking about? Football will never go away. And it's like, well, if this is kind of like the flu, flu season is around then, and they're not going to have a vaccine yet. So,
well, hopefully, you know.
It's got to be FDA approved.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying 6 months to a year at best.
Exactly. So it's possible.
Yes, it is possible.
The tough football, I don't care.
Yeah.
Entertain me.
Yeah.
Those guys, they're still angry. But
yeah. In other news, the Dyson vacuum guy, how about this? Old Jimmy Dyson yesterday recreated a ventilator. He designed his own new ventilator, and he's going to produce, I think, 15,000 of them.
That's cool.
Within 10 days.
That's cool. See, a lot of people are stepping up. You know, Sixers organization obviously took a lot of heat this past week, but Michael Rubin was apparently one of the guys
that
was not on that
hat
joint
tip
decision.
To him, yeah.
But then he did the thing with Fanatics where they're making gowns out of the jerseys, and, you know,
it's
pinstripe gowns, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yankees and Phillies pinstripe gowns.
And pinstripe masks and stuff. So, like, there's a lot of good that's going on. I mean, there's still a lot of head in the sand people out there that think this is a hoax and stuff. I mean, there's very few that are doing that still, but a lot of people are doing good with this.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk to our buddy Warren in Cherry Hill. Warren, how you doing?
Hey boys, everything's hunky-dory. Gotta tell you, those canned growlers are the greatest, but you gotta drink them at once.
Yeah, you do. You have to commit to the full 32 ounces.
As soon as you open it up.
The crowler. I love them, though.
I'm a firm believer. Listen, I got to do at least, it's got to have at least an 8 alcohol content.
Hell yeah, Warren.
Especially now, storage is important, so you don't want all these bits. So, but yeah, as I said, the other one I had at 12, I got to tell you, your name and Dave's, Devil's Creek in Collingswood is drop dead ridiculous. They got a great red that's like a 12 and a half, and you wouldn't know. The only problem is, you know, you pass out and you spill your beer all over yourself. God darn crowd. And now I put a plastic thing on me and I'll fall asleep. I don't give a hoot.
Great, Warren. I had a home painting project that we've been trying to get to forever. So obviously now is a great time to do it. I just crack a crowler and go to paint for 2.5-3 hours and good times.
How many strokes per... that's the wrong word. How many per glass... Yeah, I'm sorry. How many... Yeah, well, never mind. You go at your own pace.
So, Warren, what's on your mind?
Not a matter of I'm not happy with the draft or nothing like that. And they can talk all they want. This is one of the few years that these kids came out and did numbers. You also got to remember, you know, the kid from Seattle was fine, but a lot of these 800-yard numbers, hey, the kid from Matthews did it for the Eagles. I wanted somebody that I know so then we could go draft a receiver. All these teams, look at New Orleans, they go get a second top receiver. Even if you don't think of Buffalo, they still have Brown, that one kid, and they go get Diggs.
Yeah, New Orleans is going to be scary. You're right, Warren. New Orleans is going to be scary. But at the same time, so going back to your Jordan Matthews point, I mean, DK Metcalf had that amount of yards, but he was also the number two wide receiver on that Seattle team,
right?
Oh, no,
he was only one guy, though. I'm not arguing that, but I'm saying when we see other guys around the league, I'm not saying it's fake numbers, but people would have seen what Matthews did. All I'm asking is now the football, every year more and more, it's an offensive league.
Yes.
It's the easiest way to picture defense is Schwartz the blitz. You've got a ridiculous line. There's no help. If you do not get to the quarterback, no matter who you put on that line, it's not going to help. You gave up on Jordan Howard. I love the fact that we have a guy who can just make those yards just bullying forward.
Yeah, I agree.
They hurt their offense right now. And if they got to get a couple kids in the draft, I'm good with it. But still, no matter what, offense is the way to go. And I've seen them take a two-way. Forget their offensive line. I'm just looking at a team that has gone backwards in offense when everyone else is trying to go forward.
I hear you. But, Warren, and thanks for the call, brother. Stay safe.
That's why they're going to address in the draft.
I think a lot of people's tunes will change if you go get a CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, I think you're right. Plus, I mean, look at all the money that they've invested. I know it's not that big of a cap hit, all those names that you gave, but they have a lot of money invested in the defensive line. They're going to have a lot of money invested at the tight end position because...
I think they're part of that money is being saved for an Ertz extension.
Yeah, because Tom Pelissero reported yesterday that there's talks of an extension that'll happen in the next couple of months. He's going to get a lot of money. Dallas Goedert, if they are going to continue with this two tight end thing...
Now would be a good time to try and work out an extension for him way before market. Yeah.
Carson Wentz's contract is hitting the books this year, so he's getting paid a lot of money. You know, you have a lot of money invested in a lot of different areas on this team. Right now, and Alshon Jeffrey's one of them. Alshon Jeffrey's getting a lot of money.
We'll get into him coming up next, and we'll play the comments from Howie Roseman's, I guess, press conference in the COVID-19 era.
Right.
We'll get into that the other day, which was a conference call amongst reporters, but I guess that's a press conference in today's world. The Alshon comments were interesting. Also, I want to get into you, maybe we'll save this for the top of the hour, an old Eagle flirting with an old Eagle on Instagram yesterday.
I saw that, yeah.
We'll get your thoughts on that as well coming up next.
I'm tired of
No, I hear you, but
younger.
You do need another running back.
Yeah.
We'll get into it.
Okay, and also, I have something that I want to talk about with you because you and I talked about
keep looking
about
over
this.
My shoulder like somebody's there.
I'm dazing. I'm looking off into the world. Well, listen, the last 2 weeks you weren't here.
Miss me, Bo?
Yeah. But I do the show. When I do the show, you know, there's a couple weird people here, right? I stare off at this door.
Wait, weird people in radio?
Yes.
Get out of here.
I stare at the door, and my great friend Joe Stazak, he does a show with his eyes closed. And he could have a full board. He'd have no idea because his eyes are closed because he's not watching.
He's in the zone.
So I'm sorry that I'm staring off over your shoulder. It's sort of like my place where I'm looking. I'm actually I'm watching the TV.
Yeah, I see that.
Because the reflection off the glass.
They just showed Peyton Manning crashing University of Tennessee online class Zooms. Yes. That's pretty cool.
So, okay. So, sorry. Anyways, you and I talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago about what we were going to do with no sports.
Yeah.
And I want to see if you actually did it or if you are actually doing it.
Probably not. We'll get into it coming up.
Okay.
He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. We got Josh Raybeck in with us as well. Hanging out on this Saturday morning. Hopefully everybody's staying clean, staying safe out there. Time at the Fanatics 942.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas in with you until noon today. We got Josh Raybeck in with us talking a lot of Eagles this morning because that's really the only thing that's moving.
What are you talking about?
I was really, really saddened the other day because me and my two buddies in the neighborhood, we have a tradition every opening day.
Yes.
We either go to the game or we go to one of our sports bars, O'Neill's, on 3rd Street. And, you know, the doors are usually open because it's usually a nice day.
Did I meet them last year? Because I was at opening day with you.
Possibly. Yeah. We got split up because I went on a Michelob Ultra mission with Trey.
You went up top. We drank a few beers at the...
Yeah.
So I did meet him last year.
Yeah. And then Trey and I and Sam cruised the club level, basically sweet surfing. I was like, hey, this is Trey Thomas, former Eagle, all-pro left tackle. Anybody want to invite us in? That's basically what we did.
I remember, dude, last year, it was a packed house last year. Remember? It was sold out. The one open seat that was there was next to my dad.
Really?
Like he went with his friends and he
so the odds
like,
of that are one in what is that
45,
stadium?
45,000.
Yeah, I was gonna say 45.
And he's like, yeah, it's the it was the fourth inning. And I was like, and
I met your dad that
day. Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
he came up. And he was like, yeah.
Because I accidentally send him emails sometimes.
We'll talk about that later.
Because if either of us leave our email open on a shared computer, usually we'll email to that person and say, you commie, you left your computer open. And sometimes when you type in Sal Chunas, it populates your dad's email account.
Yes, I'm really
so
glad.
I'll send you the, I'll send the communist theme music to your dad.
And then I have to call my dad and say, just ignore that. Ignore it. But yes, the one open seat in that entire stadium.
That's crazy.
Was next to him.
So yeah, Thursday was 63, 64 degrees, sunny, clear skies. Beautiful. Man, I got bummed out there was no baseball.
I was miserable.
I went
to my room and I grabbed my baseball glove.
Did you really?
And like Christy looked at me.
Started pounding the mitt?
Well, yeah. And Christy looks at me. She goes, "Oh my God, you're just so sad." And I was like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "I know it's supposed to be opening day, but come on." And I'm like, "No." I was like, "Shut up.
You mess with the man's rituals."
Yes. Shut up, woman. Come on.
Opening,
this is my day.
Opening day is, I put out a tweet the other day with my four favorite sports days of the year. NFL, your team's opening game. Like, you know, if it's a Thursday night kickoff, it's not as good as the Sunday Eagles kickoff. The opening tip, the Thursday of March Madness. I just love that you know that you have 3 weeks ahead of you of just sheer joy. MLB opening day and the Masters Sunday. Those are like my four favorite sports days of the year.
I don't know if I go week one NFL.
Really? What would you have in its place?
I'd rather go.
So MLB opening day is probably your one?
Yes. I'm with you on Masters Sunday. I'm with you on the Thursday tip. But I think, if anything, I would rather go either Christmas Day NBA.
What?
I love Christmas Day NBA.
You're crazy.
Why? Or I would actually go, I love Conference Championship Sunday in the NFL. Like, that's one of my, that's one of my favorite days.
That's a great one.
Because it's just two games, and it's back-to-back.
Yeah.
Like, one's done, and you're moving on to the next one. And it's
8 hours on the couch.
And it's getting ready for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if the Eagles are in it or not.
Actually, I like the divisional round maybe even slightly better because you get Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, it's good. The Saturday, Sunday's good. Yeah.
And this year, we'll have three games on each.
Yes. Yeah. No.
No.
Yeah.
No, this year. The 17 game will be the next following year, if there is a season. But yeah, Thursday hit me right in the sports fields, because opening day, I mean, we both love it. It was gorgeous outside.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
That was sad.
I played MLB 2K11, because of course that's the...
So does that mean that's the 2011 version?
Yes.
good job.
But like, I was just so sad that I was like, I need some...
So the 2011 Phillies, I mean, I assume you play with the Phillies?
Halliday, man. I had him on the bump.
That's awesome.
Had a couple home runs with Howard, I think. I don't know.
Everything blends together.
I had the book that you bring to the games and keep score.
I'm surprised you're not at that level yet. You're probably going on baseballpornhubreference.com most days.
Okay, so speaking of that,
what rabbit holes are you diving into?
A couple weeks ago, I teased this going into the break. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about how are we going to handle the no sports world.
Yeah.
I think this was two Saturdays.
Yeah.
And you and I were on the same page about watching old games.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing it?
No.
So you said it, but you've never done it.
No. Well, I haven't been watching a lot of TV, to be honest with you.
Which is good.
And if, you know, we watch the press conference every day. That's kind of like our... We started Ozark last night. I've been watching a little bit of Tiger King. But outside of that, an 11-month-old will really keep you busy, man.
Okay, well, so I don't have that.
So I haven't... If I had been on the couch more, I probably would have watched more, but I haven't really watched much TV.
I've been locked into these old games.
Are you digging them up on YouTube, or are you going MLB Network, NBA TV?
Well, like, it depends. So we're doing these playbacks on the right, with Anthony. So I've been playing these old games, and you can't get certain highlights just by looking at the box score. Like, you can do it for baseball because you know, like, oh, this guy hit his RBI single. So you go to that part in the video.
Mm.
But when you do like a hockey game, it doesn't say great save made here.
Yeah.
But Doc Emrick went nuts at this moment. on NHL reference. So I've been watching like full Flyers games from the early 2000s, and I've been watching full Sixers games. I watched the entire 1982 Game 7 Eastern Conference Eastern Conference Finals game between the Sixers and the Celtics. Like, I watched the full thing the other day.
Yeah, so I want to do that.
And it's awesome.
Is it?
Because it's crazy how much the games have changed.
Yeah.
The old, early 2000s hockey was so slow. Like, do you see the speed on the ice now?
Yeah.
It's great. Now there's a lot more cross-checking, a lot more hitting.
Yeah. But I'm sure the Flyers were still, like, the slowest.
Oh, my God. It was, I'm like, how do they win these series? You know what I mean? Like, they got Milan Lucic on the Bruins,
who was like the fastest player on the ice, and like nowadays
he's average. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So and, like I'm thinking of like Travis Konecny being able to probably skate around these guys a thousand.
So would
times.
You say the NHL product current day is better? Now that you this is fresh in your mind?
Because a lot of people like the hitting and the fighting.
What do you like?
I think I like the speed and the athleticism and the talent. So I like
I
like today's hockey a lot more. But then
but that is interesting to watch something which isn't that long ago, but the sport has changed dramatically.
Right. Exactly. In
to have
15,
it fresh in your
15
mind.
15 years.
Yeah.
And well the 2010 series, that was 10 years ago. The Bruins comeback. And that they
I was
still
in Mexico watching
slow.
That.
Were you really?
That's yeah, crazy. It was awesome.
But like and then the NBA. So I watched the 1982 game. Their mid-range jump shots were pure. Like nobody can shoot the mid-range.
I saw
like
a graphic of like early 90s mid-range, like how basically the mid-range has just died in the current NBA.
Yeah.
Like in the mid-90s, it was all mid-range and like, you know, your occasional three-point shooters. Now it's just like all three-pointers and in the paint and nothing in the mid-range.
And in the paint is put back dunks and fast breaks. Yeah. And it's incredible. So Dick Johnston was on the call and Andrew Toney hit a shot like inside the three-point line. And Dick Johnson goes, and there's Tony from deep. And he was
like a 13-footer.
Inside the three-point line. And I'm like,
that was deep?
That was deep? I'm watching Steph Curry
point
at where he's going to go.
Dude, how about LeBron against the Sixers right before the season ends?
He
pulls up from the logo.
And I'm like, wait, that was deep inside the mid-range game?
Yeah, that's
like,
pretty wild.
I kind of want people to check it out. And I've been watching not just Philly. Like, I've been watching the MLB Network.
They've been doing some good
stuff. I watched Mets-Cubs 1994 opening day.
Wow. And that's the year they striked, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I watched Tuffy Rhodes hit three home runs on opening day.
Really? Three dingers?
Yes, on opening day as a leadoff hitter.
Yeah, that's a good time. I do want to get into, you know, like the Sixers NBA Finals and watch the entirety of it. You know, I've always grown up hearing about it from my dad, who used to have, you know, Sixer season tickets back in the 80s and stuff.
Right.
And I've always, you know, heard the folklore of these games, but I've never actually seen them. So I do eventually want to get there and go back and watch the 1980 World Series and all seven games, or at least abbreviated, quicker versions of them.
Wait, but then you miss the runs. Like, you got to watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if people are doing that. Like, is anyone else doing it? Or am I, like, it's chalk. Everyone, I rewatched the Super Bowl and the Eagles Super Bowl. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, you get the feels for a couple hours. But, like, I don't know. I don't want to say educate yourself because that's, like, you know.
No, but it's kind of educating yourself.
But, like, I'm like, oh, my God. Like,
those do that. That
Tony hits it from deep. And it's a 12-footer.
Like, yeah. So if anybody's got some great games from the past that they've watched or want to get into, it's on your bucket list, and you want to talk about it with us, by all means, give us some games to watch.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be Philly. I was watching this morning before I came in. 2003 Game 7 ALCS. It was on the MLB Network again. Red Sox Yankees.
That's awesome.
That was the Boone home run.
Yeah, yeah. I was in college.
Gives it up.
I like, remember exactly where I was during that game.
And I'm like,
Johnny K's Bar in Northeast DC. Yep.
Awesome.
Oh, right by our college. Because I was close with, you know, it's a lot of New York and Connecticut people, so a lot of Red Sox and Yankees fans go to Catholic U in D.C., so the place was going nuts, and, like, right as you realized the comeback was happening, like, the whole bar was just, like, captivated. It was
really?
It was pretty awesome. You know, I'd like to watch some of the old 90s Bulls series again, just to kind of relive those, because, like, that was kind of when I was in my prime of sports fandom.
You could probably find a Jordan Flew game online somewhere. That would be a game I would want to watch.
Yeah, so we'll continue talking about some of those. We do have to dive into the old Eagles player flirting with the current Eagles player on Instagram, and if you would do it. Also, the Alshon Jeffrey thing we'll get into. We'll play you some of the Howie Roseman sound from his press conference this week. We'll dive into all that and more. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 9:56.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas with you until 12 o'clock today. Talking a lot of Eagles, talking a lot of nonsense, talking old games we're watching, talking about quarantine lockdown and what you're doing at home. Everything's on the table. Some open lines if you feel like getting in. 610-632-0975 are the numbers. 610-632-0975 are the numbers. So right before the break, Andrew, I mentioned the old Eagles player flirting with a current Eagles player on Instagram. And I'm sure everybody has pretty much seen this by now. But LeSean Shady McCoy posts yesterday, him in an Eagles jersey, and it just said, "Philly is home," with heart emojis.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing it.
Under that, DeSean Jackson says, "Time to bring it home, brother," or something along those lines.
Right.
And Shady says, "It's about that time." Now, he wouldn't be doing this unless there was some feelings of it being a possibility, right?
Yeah. I don't want to do it. I'm sorry. I know you need another running back. I don't want to do
Well, it. All right. So here, let's dissect
this.
I need
a tough guy.
He was a healthy scratch for the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Yes.
So skill set wise, you know, he's diminished. But, you know, he's still a top 15 rushing yardage back of all time. He was one of my favorite Eagles here, except for the stuff he did off the field.
He's a very nice guy.
I say, who cares?
Well, you need another running back.
Yeah, top 15 all time because of his youth.
I understand. I'm not saying he's great, but you're going to get a veteran running back. Because it appeared Miles Sanders and Boston Scott are what you got.
Are your two guys, yeah.
Yeah, and look, I think Boston Scott has earned that kind of third change of pace back guy.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a weapon. Miles Sanders, I don't think you'll find a bigger fan in Philadelphia than me. As a third veteran running back?
No. I'm not doing it.
I'm not in love with it?
I'm not doing it.
But why not?
Here's why. Because I'm one of those guys that loves the not strong running back.
The power back.
Yes. The LeGarrette Blount type, the Jordan Howard type. I think that's important to have as a guy that you could go to in certain situations. And I know Miles Sanders can get the yard on a third and one. I know Boston Scott can get the yard on a third and one. He's like Darren Sproles. He hides behind the line. So I know those two guys can get the yard on third and one.
The tough yards.
Yeah, exactly.
The tough yards in between the tackles.
But
yeah.
I would still rather get a guy who is that power running back than LeSean McCoy, because what does LeSean McCoy do that's different than Miles Sanders and Boston Scott?
Well,
he's all these one-cut running backs.
Shady's a several-cut kind of guy.
Yeah, but he doesn't have as much legs left.
He's actually been fresh this past year. He didn't get a lot of work.
Yeah, I don't expect LeSean McCoy to go out there and get 100 yards for me on it.
No. You're looking at a guy that would maybe get you 7 carries at most a game, something like that.
I just think we're talking about getting younger. Like you.
No, I hear you, but you do need veterans some places. Yeah, you're pretty damn young with Boston Scott and Miles Sanders. That's the only reason I'm considering.
Let's do Darren Sproles again.
No.
For the 18th time.
Look, it's a risk in that he wasn't good enough to get on the field for a Super Bowl champion. But we're talking about essentially a third running back here. He's great at picking up blitzes. He's not a liability. He can still catch the ball. And look, maybe he can adjust his game a little bit to become a power guy. Like he's a bigger back. And if he doesn't have his elusiveness anymore, maybe he can become that between the tackles runner. I haven't looked at the veteran running back market that much.
All right, so I have him up for
all right. Throw some of the names that we're comparing them, because they are going to bring in somebody else. I highly doubt they draft somebody unless like an Anthony Dillon from BC is there in like the fifth round. Maybe they take a shot, or McFarland from Maryland. But like still, you don't want three.
No, I could see them signing another.
You're going to sign a veteran running back. That's the only reason this is even a conversation.
All right, so here are all the free agent running backs in the NFL still currently. Devontae Freeman, obviously not the guy that he's not the power running back that I'm looking at.
And he's going to cost you more. Yes. By the way, for the purpose of this conversation, we're assuming that LeSean McCoy is basically a veteran minimum type of player.
Oh, yeah, of course. You're not giving him a
$10 million. I mean, we're talking about like $1.5 million here, maybe a million.
Lamar Miller. He's a guy that could be a little bit of a power back for you.
It was Houston, right?
Yep.
He's a little powerish.
Chris Thompson.
From Washington. He's hurt too much.
Okay.
Very elusive. And he's good out of the backfield receiving. University of Florida kid.
Carlos Hyde. I'm kind of out on Carlos Hyde.
Same thing.
I'm interested in this name. Not really power back, but a guy that can catch the ball at the backfield for you. Theo Riddick. I don't hate him.
Yeah, I don't hate him, but again, he's not a power back.
Right. Frank Gore at the age of 37. Darren Sproles retired. Marshawn Lynch.
Do we run Frank Gore back?
Yeah.
One of the all-time great Eagles?
Bilal Powell. Isaiah Crowell.
Powell's a power back.
He is, and so is Crowell. He should be. Crowell should be. He tries to do too much.
Yeah.
Robert Turbin from Seattle. About Kenyon Barner? Wow, what a name. I mean, there's a lot of guys available. I mean, there's Alfred Blue is still available.
Yeah, right? Another Houston back. Yeah. These are all like Houston Texans running backs over the last 3 years.
Now, here is an interesting name to run by you. Because you could do it another one-year prove-it deal, just like you did with Ronald Darby coming off with injury, just like you did with Darren Sproles coming off with injury, even though he wasn't a prove-it deal. He was, hey, I still want to stick around for one more year. People have brought this name up. I'm ready to move on because it's now been 2 years of injuries, and I don't want to do it anymore. But what about Corey Clement? 25.
Again,
it's only 25.
I know, but he's been hurt. Two years in a row.
I'm ready to move on.
I'm ready to move on, too. And it's nothing against his skill set, but it kind of is trending in like that type of direction.
Yeah, he got hurt in 18. He got hurt last year.
People forget what a great Super Bowl he had.
Incredible Super Bowl. He had the most receiving yards. He's a guy that can make things happen, but he missed half the season last year, half the season the year before.
Yeah.
I'm ready to move on. I need guys that are available.
I want to move on from the injury-plagued guys.
We were on when Darren Sproles re-signed last year. You and I were on the moment it happened, and I was like, I thought
he was strictly going to be like a punt returner, so I was like,
And then Doug used him for like 15 plays.
And it was driving me nuts.
That's why I wanted to move on.
I mean, this running back class that you're reading to me sucks.
Yeah, it does.
So,
but for a third running back.
Yes, but that's all we're talking about. So,
yeah, but I need a guy.
I'll take Shady over Alfred Blue or Isaiah Crowell.
But I'd rather have a certain skill set. And the Sean McCoy doesn't have. He's not going to run between the tackles.
He might.
He's not going to run.
He can.
He's going to bounce to the outside and try to do things that he could do 7 years ago.
So, who on that list do you want? Because they're going to get somebody.
It's got to be somebody for cheap.
Isaiah Crowell? Is that what you're trying to sell me?
I don't know.
I'll take Shady every day.
Yeah, you're too attached to him.
He's one of my favorite Eagles.
Yeah,
we're talking about a guy gonna get you 6 or 7 rushes a game.
No, you know what? It's gonna be like Darren Sproles all over again. He's gonna fall in love with him and keep him in there for 20 plays.
Look, am I gonna be like doing laps around the building if they sign Shady McCoy? No, but it's clear that there's a reason he put those posts up yesterday, and it's probably because he's gotten some indication that they might be interested.
The only reason why I'd be excited for Shady is because I've had a Shady jersey sitting in my closet.
You can bust it out.
That I haven't worn.
Is 25 taken currently on the Eagles? I'm trying to think. I think somebody wanted it. Didn't Darius? No, Darius Slay won 24 for Kobe. Somebody, I think, wanted it because Mark brought it up on the show. Should that number be quasi-retired? All-time leading rusher for the franchise, yada, yada, yada. It's open?
No, it's open.
Look at you. So
Slay
you can bust
24,
out.
Sanders 26.
There you go. So you can bust out the old jersey. It's a win-win.
Yeah.
I don't know. The list you just read me, there was really no one that interests me.
I love Shady, what he did. He was so much fun to watch.
And I'm not saying he's going to come in here and light the world on fire. I'm just saying he's a guy I know I can trust.
I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. Right. I'm ready to keep
Alfred Blue it is.
Nah, it doesn't have to be Alfred Blue. But like, I don't know, like Bilal Powell, fine. A guy who's really done nothing in his career.
Cool.
He was given. Yeah, okay, cool.
5 to 6 carries, like you just said.
Isaiah Crowell sucks. Or who'd you just say?
Bilal Powell.
Bilal Powell. He sucks too. Take my chances with Shady running between the tackles.
That could be Theo Riddick.
And he knows the system. He doesn't have to learn. And that's another
system.
Doug. And the Eagles system, he knows it. He's going to know the plays.
Will he?
Look, this is something that Schefter, I hadn't even thought about it until Schefter said it this year, but it makes a lot of sense. With the abbreviated offseason that these teams are going to have, because there's going to be no OTAs. Look, right after the draft is usually rookie OTAs, followed by 2 weeks later, team OTAs. That's not going to exist anymore. That's when they learn how the practices go, how, you know, just kind of getting in the flow of what their routine's going to be, trying to learn the system, yada, yada, yada. And Schefter brought this up in terms of the Eagles and the advantage they'll have over the NFC East now, which I hadn't even thought about. But you'd think about it, three of the coaches in the NFC East are brand new. Doug and his staff are the only ones remaining intact.
Yep.
Ron Rivera in D.C.'s got a whole new coaching staff coming in, a whole new system. Mike McCarthy in Dallas and the Joe Judge up in New York. All three guys have to implement their systems, their practice styles. You know, they have to get the foundation in place. Meanwhile, the Eagles' foundation is already in place. So because of the shortened offseason that all these teams are going to have, it's beneficial to have guys that already know the system, more or less. And the example he drew was, look at Matt Nagy and Nick Foles in Chicago.
Right.
Nick Foles knows that system. He knows how things are going to go. He's walking into something where he can just start running. He doesn't have to baby step into running. So, because, look, I thought Cam Newton to the Bears was the biggest lock of the offseason. I thought that was a no-brainer for Chicago. What the hell are they doing going and getting Nick Foles? You know what I mean? Like, Cam Newton is a better quarterback than Nick Foles.
Yes, I agree with you.
So that kind of leads to Schefter's point of these coaches are kind of considering guys that know their system because there's going to be a shortened offseason here. And because of that, Shady might fit the Eagles' bill better than a Isaiah Crowell or your boy Bilal Powell or Alfred Blue or any of these scrubs.
I'm not saying Alfred Blue.
You love Alfred Blue.
You're my boy Blue.
You love Alfred Blue.
What about Lamar Miller? In all seriousness, Lamar
Miller, the best name on that list.
Didn't play a down last year because he tore his ACL in the preseason.
He's the best name on that list.
He was on the final year of his deal. That's another one of those.
If you're gun to my head, Lamar Miller or Shady McCoy, I'd probably go Lamar Miller.
That's one of those.
But that's a coin flip.
It's one
to
of
me.
Those 1 year prove it deals. You just tore your ACL, you're a running back.
Yeah.
And here's 1 year, low amount of money, give you some half of it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
And like they did with Jordan. I mean, they traded for Jordan Howard last year, but that's what I like, the contract year guy. Why not?
Lamar Miller is the only name on that list that quasi interests me.
Like, you know, he's had a decent career. Not a great career. He's had a decent career. His big years were with Miami, and then he goes to Houston, and they pretty much run him to the ground.
That's the land where running backs go to die.
Yeah, he had, oh my God, dude. He had 200.
Their running back situation has been a disaster since Arian Foster.
268 attempts in 2016, 238 attempts in 2017, 210 in 2018. And then he tears his ACL.
But yeah,
I'd rather have him than LeSean McCoy. I just don't want to do it anymore.
No, I hear you. Look, it's a valid point. I'm not trying to be up here like, oh, Shady McCoy's the answer to the Super Bowl. I'm just saying, for a guy that's going to get you six, maybe seven rushes a game, knows the system, knows how to pick up blitzes, isn't a liability with a lot of things. If it's him or Lamar Miller, is the best we can do. All right, I mean, sure, Lamar Miller's probably a little bit of a better option. But I'm okay with Shady. I'm not saying I'm excited about it. I'm okay with him because he knows the system. There's going to be no offseason. These rookies are going to be behind the eight balls. I don't know if Doug can get on Zoom and with all these rookies and do like a teleconference or what. But these rookies are going to have a lot on their plate quickly this year. So just reading, you know, we put a tweet out, you know, that we're talking about this right now.
Yeah, nobody wants them.
I'll run through the replies to this because there was about 32 replies in about 6 seconds here. First one from Kevin. I'd say no, great player and a lot of good memories, but I like our running back room. Blah, blah, blah. He got benched in KC. To sign a one-day contract and retire as an Eagle, Lee Stagg says.
Yes, I agree.
Kemba says, I believe there's zero chance Eagles bring him back, especially after this past season. I think they want to get young. Yes, they do want to get young, and they want to get young in a lot of areas. But you need certain veterans.
I get it, but
all right, I'm just like, reading people's... You're hot and bothered.
Here's
there.
The best answer. This is from Bill. Just what we need. Another old, washed-up has-been. Yes! Thank you.
Joel Gerard says, no, and I love Shady, but this isn't going to bring anything to the table that we do not already have. DBG15 says, if he's good... Yeah, you love DBG15. If he's good with being a third or fourth running back and not many touches, sure. But that is what we're talking about. Martin says, much rather trade for Royce Freeman or sign Devontae Freeman than to get another 30-year-old plus running back who's lost two steps along the way. A. Gene says, yeah, cool. This would be a great signing if it were 2014. Baltimore Al says, hard pass. T. Tim Schneider. We already got our Shady and Miles Sanders. Get a downhill runner. I hear you. They're just not out there. Nah, from Larry Binninger. Drew Jersey says, aren't we supposed to be moving towards youth? So it's an overwhelming amount. Joanne Arnold says yes. it's an overwhelming amount. Oh, and here's another one that just came in from John Strayer. No, 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 no. Let me repeat. No, no, no. I love Shady, but he's done.
Yes.
He's putting that out on Instagram for a reason. Just,
yeah, and I don't want.
I hear you, but it's a real possibility.
Let's stop doing this, Eagles.
Is it like, who are you comparing him to? You're comparing him to Lamar Miller, who's coming off of a torn ACL, yeah, as the next best option.
But dude,
I feel like I'm alone and I'm taking crazy pills over here.
Andy Reid and Andy Reid and LeSean McCoy go way back. He was a healthy scratch.
I hear you, and that's part of the risk.
This guy doesn't have much left.
Well, they also had, you know, better backs there.
Yeah, and the Eagles have better backs.
Yeah, we're talking about a third string running back.
Yeah,
look at you. You're ready to rip the mic off the stand over a third string running back.
I don't want LeSean McCoy. Right.
You're backed by the majority of Eagles fans here,
Thank you.
I'm just okay with it as a guy. So let's get into the Howie Roseman press conference or conference call or whatever the hell you want to call it. The COVID 2019 current day press conference. Howie got into some interesting things. Let's start with Jalen Mills being a positionless player. When you first heard that, your thoughts were ...
What? like when I heard him say that, like literally, I was listening to it, and I'm like, what? No, he's not. What are you talking about? He's a positionless player.
Well, here's Howie explaining Jalen Mills being a positionless player.
Jalen Mills, bringing him back to was important for us. We feel like Jalen is a positionless player. He can really play down in the box. He can cover a tight end. He can cover a slot receiver. He can play out wide. He's got range. He's played the position before. And when we were scouting him, he played it. He played the safety position against Alabama in a huge game for LSU. So we've seen him do that. And his versatility, his mentality is something that we wanted to keep on the defensive side of the ball.
Hearing how he explained what he meant, does it make a little more sense for you?
No.
Because I kind of agree with him. He can... Look, he's got the physicality. We've seen him. He'll tackle. He'll put his head in there.
He's a competitor.
Yes.
I love Jalen Mills.
He's played cornerback now in the NFL for, what, 4 years?
4 years, yep.
Played safety at LSU, yep, in the SEC, mm-hmm, at the highest level there is in college, mm-hmm, football. He's okay against the run. I think he's...
We'll see.
From the cornerback position,
yes, yeah,
he has been good against the run.
That's what I'm worried about. Is Malcolm Jenkins played a very big role in this team.
Yes. And he also lost a step last year as well.
Yeah, he did, but...
But he's still a very good player.
Still a very good player. And my biggest concern was when they decided to not pick up his team option and to move on from him, I go, okay, how are they going to fill that hole, the many holes that he will leave? Are you filling it with, okay, we're just going to go traditional base defense, safety, linebacker, cornerback, everything's normal, or are you going to try to fill that hole with a specific player? And if they're trying to do it with Jalen Mills, I just don't see it working.
I think they are going to try and fill the Malcolm Jenkins role with Jalen Mills.
And I just don't see that working.
And then Will Parks will be in a good amount in dime packages, yeah, as the more true safety pairing with Rodney McLeod. Because look, they haven't addressed linebacker either.
No, they haven't.
They got rid of their best linebacker. Who knows? Maybe Nigel Bradham returns on a restructured, yeah, veteran, you know, team-friendly deal.
That's what
deal.
They did with Jernigan a couple,
yeah,
of, he got hurt, and mm-hmm, then, remember, he disappeared.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they brought him back on.
It's kind of trending, deal, like, yeah, it could be that way. But right now, your linebackers are the White Snake, Nate Gary, that other dude.
TJ Edwards?
Yeah.
And then you had Duke Riley.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Don't forget Duke Riley now.
Can't forget Duke.
Dude, don't sleep on Duke.
Duke Riley was the guy that put the mask on after they won, like, a random game.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, come on.
Yeah,
like, you're on special teams.
Relax,
bro.
Duke. But they haven't addressed linebacker either, which makes me think that maybe Jalen Mills is going to be slotted into that Malcolm Jenkins type of role.
That's what it looks like it's happening.
But I mean,
I just
more
don't know
as a,
why I like it.
60% of the time in the box type,
yeah,
of role.
And I don't think I like that.
That's a big risk.
Listen, I hope he can prove me wrong. I'm concerned about that.
And Will Parks is kind of your insurance policy there.
Yeah.
Look, Will Parks said, I don't really back up anybody.
Yeah.
Which I love. I love that attitude out of one of your players.
Even though he pretty much did all his time in Denver. He only started in like 16 games.
Yeah, but I think he was on the field a lot for the most part.
Here's the thing. Jalen Mills, I will never say he's not a competitor. He is a competitor. And when it comes to that level of Malcolm Jenkins being a strong leader on the field, I could see Jalen Mills doing that. But does he have the same, I don't want to say talent. I mean, Malcolm Jenkins is a pretty good player, right? Like, Malcolm Jenkins has had a fantastic career. Winning a Super Bowl in New Orleans, winning a Super Bowl in the Eagles, strong chance of winning a Super Bowl again in New Orleans with how that team is built.
Yeah, they're going to be probably, I haven't looked at the odds too closely, but yeah, I would imagine New Orleans is the favorite in the NFC.
This may be the year where they stop bitching and moaning in New Orleans. It may be the year because I think they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're stacked.
And they're built a way to win. And, you know, I am concerned about Jalen Mills filling that spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's a legit concern. Coming up, we'll dive into what Howie had to say on Alshon Jeffrey. I'll get into my theory about the Houston Texans and why they did not offer the Eagles the same package that Arizona got.
So here's a great tweet from Paul. I didn't see the movie. Did you see that stupid Uncle Drew movie?
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, there's a bobblehead right there. Uncle Drew.
Kyrie.
I kind of hate Kyrie.
Yeah, I do too. but he has a gif of Kyrie, you know, as Uncle Drew is dancing. And he goes, Jamie's trying to put the team back together.
That's great. It's just, the running back market sucks. So that's all. I'm not even trying to die on LeSean McCoy Hill. It's just, I trust him as somebody that's not going to kill you with a blitz pickup on 3rd and 7 if he's on the field. Whatever. I don't care that much about
Shady McCoy. You die on that hill all you want.
But the abbreviated offseason was a very interesting thing to consider because why the hell else would Chicago get Nick Foles over Cam Newton? What are they doing? If they got Cam Newton, they could be legit NFC competitors. Why does Cam Newton not have a job right now?
That's a good question. They made the trade before he got released.
Yeah, the Panthers kind of screwed Cam a little bit.
I think the Bears probably looked at it as, all right, we'll get Nick Foles for a 4th-round pick. Or they're gonna have to trade more to get Cam Newton.
No, at the time.
And then he gets released. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they're having second thoughts. I don't know.
What are the Chargers doing? Tyrod Taylor over Cam Newton?
Yeah, it's weird.
What is going on?
Tyrod Taylor is just such one of those quarterbacks that I'm like, oh my God, this guy's still in the league?
Yeah, like he's okay. But why isn't he a career backup?
He's like that Charlie Whitehurst guy. he was in the league for like 20 years.
Does Belichick go and get Cam?
I would like to see it.
I would be, as a remove Eagles fandom from all of it, a football fan, I would love to watch that.
I would
that.
Be fascinated.
Yeah, I think the Patriots would be must-watch television. We'll get into all that stuff. We'll talk to Steve in the Northeast coming up next. You're listening to Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatics, 10:24.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Can't believe how much people hate Shady.
I mean, why are you doing that? Why are you trying to go back?
The guy's flirting with the Eagles on Instagram. I had to bring it up.
He's flirting with the Eagles on Instagram. You know who else did that at one point? Antonio Brown. You want him?
His name has been mentioned by a lot of tweeters this week.
No, I don't,
but I do.
You know what was all fake? The apology. That was all fake, too.
Oh, he's cuckoo.
Yes.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
You would go there.
I've been getting a lot back into cereal because we've had a lot of milk in the house.
Same. Well, I didn't do the milk. Why are people doing that? Let me ask you something.
We just got it for she's about to start to have milk.
I saw a picture of a woman.
Oh, I know. I saw that too. Like 16 2-gallon things in her.
Now,
I've
learned.
Unless she's running like a daycare. I don't know.
No, maybe. I've learned that you can freeze milk.
Okay. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
We froze breast milk, but you must have like one of those industrial size, like, you know, basement freezers that you keep bodies in if you're freezing that much milk.
16 gallons.
That's outrageous. And I'm like, no, 32 gallons.
Yeah, the big one. I'm like, Why are you doing that?
Apparently, eggs have now become like the hot commodity out there. And I'm running out after the show today. And I hope I can, because my daughter loves cheesy eggs right now.
Cheesy egg is a good one.
She goes nuts for it. She starts kicking in the high chair, and she doesn't understand that eggs. She's, you know, these kids are stupid. She doesn't understand the eggs need to cool. So while she sees us cooking on the stove, she gets so pumped up for the cheesy eggs, and then we have to let it cool, and she like yells at us.
Good.
So when I was broadcasting from home, it's an old Philadelphia row home, so I'm up on the third floor.
Yeah.
She's down on the first floor in the kitchen, and I could hear her smacking the table and crying.
That's awesome.
And I'd be like texting Addie, I'm like, can you quiet her down?
Tell that child to pipe down.
This isn't a huge house. I can hear her. And she's like, yeah, she's waiting for the eggs to cool. I'm like, jeez. So I'm running out. Apparently, eggs are the hot commodity
when
now.
When Christy went out 2 weeks ago for the bulk shopping, not one egg left. You know how they have like the little two packs sometimes? None. Everything was gone.
I've been having a tough time finding chicken breasts.
Yeah.
It's all because chicken's very easy to freeze.
Yeah, we have a... Well, we're actually running out, but we did buy a ton.
You hoarded chicken?
Yes.
You son of a...
Dude, I didn't know if the world was ending.
No, you know, for the most part, food and supplies will be fine. So everybody needs to not hoard out there.
You know what's been throwing me off? I mean, we're all dealing with the same crap, so I don't mind saying this kind of stuff.
Like,
it's not like, oh, this is personal to me. I don't want to talk about it, because we're all dealing with it. There was, like, no toilet paper left, right?
Yeah, which I still don't understand, but whatever.
So... Christy bought like the last couple of packets that were.
How many are we talking here?
Just eight packs?
Just two.
Two rolls?
No, two.
Two packs.
Two
packs.
Yeah.
But it was a brand that like we would never get. It was like the quadruple ply.
I don't like those.
I hate it.
I don't like those at all.
And then like, you know, you have a.
No, it's not good.
Since your youth, you've known how much you want off the roll.
No, those you don't even fold. Because they're so thick.
And I don't like it.
No, they're awful. And they leave... They're fuzzy.
Yes!
Yes! They're no good. I'll take the cheap one-ply that office buildings and universities use over that quadruple ply.
Oh, that's a Twitter poll. Would you rather go the recycled paper almost?
But at least the one-ply you can control... Your thickness.
Now, then again, I've been saving
this
more.
This is quality programming right here.
I've been saving more toilet paper because I know to only use a few.
But
my own personal reasons, I don't like it.
Should we put that poll out? One ply or four ply?
I'll get to it.
Are you a baby wipes man?
No.
You ever get into that?
No.
It's apparently bad for the plumbing. Josh, you a baby wipes man? He supports.
Thumbs up. I don't like the wipe. My old roommate loved the wipe. He went with the wipe.
The wipe's a nice item.
I didn't like the wipe.
You can't end on the wipe.
You
got to end dry.
He said, just try it next time.
Yeah.
And I tried it. I hated it.
My buddies all are yelling at me because I don't have the bidet on my toilet.
Why?
On Amazon, you can get like a $25 bidet.
I thought you have one.
No, I don't. I've used it and it's incredible.
Oh.
My wife fights me on it because she thinks it's going to look terrible. Like when I had the squatty potty back in the day, she got rid of it. It's like she doesn't care about my health or something, you know?
Oh. You went squatty potty? That's the thing where you put your legs up?
Yeah, you ever try it?
Yeah, it did nothing for me.
Really?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be better for your body because humans aren't supposed to do that the way we do it.
It did nothing for me.
That's a shame. Maybe it did something for Steve in the Northeast. Steve, you a one-ply man or a four-ply man?
Hey, man, whatever gets the job done.
I hear you. What's going on, Steve?
Just wanted to speak on a few minutes ago. You were speaking on the safety and linebacker.
Yeah, what are your thoughts there?
As far as the safety...
Wait, we were talking sports? Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, we're going to go back.
Let's bring it back.
But I'm not saying we'll get the same exact production out of Parts and Mills that we did with Jenkins, but, you know, from watching highlights on Parts and even being on Twitter and watching things said from Broncos fans, I think he's going to be the one playing the Jenkins role.
You mean more in the box and Mills will be
the hitter,
deeper.
Man, I was watching.
Yeah, that's Parks can hit for sure.
Does. So I think he's. I'm not. I think
interesting.
Be in the box a little bit too, but I think Parks is going to be that one really floating around.
Yeah, and look, and he is more athletic than Mills.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they're going to do a good job. Like I said, I'm not saying they'll give us what Jenkins did. But
yeah.
I think they'll definitely be more than serviceable.
So, Steve, do you think they're not going to address linebacker as like obviously they're going to draft some guys and get some youth, but do you think they're kind of counting on one of those two to more or less be a linebacker situationally, like 60% of the time?
Well, here's what I was waiting for you to mention. You forgot we signed Jatavis Brown from the Chargers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I did forget about that. That was a decent signing.
Yeah. You know, I looked up him a little bit, too. He's a hell of a coverage linebacker, which fits our defense. And he never got the chance to be like a full-time starter, but he still had over 79 tackles every year.
Yeah.
So he seems like he's a decent player, and if he gets the chance, he could be a good player. Because even the 1 year I was looking, that he got like a lot of playing time. He played like 15 or 16 games. He started like 12 or 14 of them, and he had 98 tackles, I think a pick or two, a couple sacks.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I completely forgot about him. You're right. You know, he's a guy coming off the injury, but he did have two pretty successful seasons out there prior to it. Look, it's not a lot of money. There's not a lot of investment there. So, yeah, I forgot about him. It's a decent point.
Yeah, so I think him and Gary will be our nickel guys.
Oh, man, Nate Gary, huh?
I like Gary, man.
Do you?
He's gotten better every year.
He's gotten better. I'll give him that. Yeah, just in cover. So I don't know.
I think it'll be him and Gary as our nickel backers. And then, to be honest, I think they might lean on TJ Edwards a little bit when we're in our base defense because he's a thumper. He's a run stopper. Like, when we played the Cowboys last year, he was all over Zeke. He was.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, Steve, appreciate the call, man.
No problem.
See ya. I see you put the poll out. I was going to do it during the break.
Yeah, I just did it.
Nice.
That's why you had to handle that. This is more.
Well, M. Farron checked in on Twitter. He says, original Scott all day. See, it's weird you brought this up because there's been a lot of toilet paper talk the last 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, big time. And it's ridiculous.
I think the one-ply gets complete disrespect.
Well, I found a new appreciation for it.
Yeah.
Like it was always just like it was there.
Yeah.
But as soon as I go to this 4-ply, it's throwing me off, man.
The quilted? Like,
I don't know what kind of. I have to check. Well, I'll text you.
Text Christy and see what you got at home.
She's working today.
Oh, okay.
She's at work. She's doing important things. What you and I are doing right now is
hey,
not important.
Breaking down toilet paper is very important. So what's your plans with the free house at home? Because she does the long shifts, right? So what are you doing today? Drinking and playing video games again?
I wish. No, I got stuff to do.
Oh, yeah, you're moving.
I'm moving.
Moving during this is...
I'm supposedly getting the keys today. And okay. I'm going to move some stuff
You
over.
Don't seem to...
I don't know. I mean, my lease starts April 1st. The house was available March 14th. But because we have the current lease until the end of April, we asked, can we get it pushed to April 1st? We'll do the 1 month of two places, which I like because now I have a month. I don't have to move everything on one day.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to lose my mind today if I have nothing to do.
Well, so that means you'll be playing video games and drinking.
I hope not. Because she's working tomorrow, too.
Yeah.
Usually, when
it's a normal world out, you can meet your boys down at the bayou, have some wings and beers.
No offense, Christy, if somebody in your family is listening and texts you immediately saying you should leave your husband, I love it when she works on the weekend. Randomly. Not all the time.
You're really putting the balls on the table
not
here.
Not all the time. But when she works on a weekend, like a Saturday.
Look, no husband out there is going to say, I don't like when I have the house to myself.
Especially because she'll go to bed early because she gets up at like 5:30 for work.
Mm.
So Friday night.
I know that. I know those pains.
Friday night, I can do whatever I want because she's in bed by like 9. And then I have all day Saturday.
Yeah.
And I'll come home and she'll just look at me. I'll be like on the couch like, hey.
What day is it? Drew in Westchester's driving down to Total Wines. We'll get to him next. That's a good move with the PA State stores, closing down. I'm worried about my booze supply.
I have a lot of liquor. It's the beer that I'm running out, but the beer's still open up.
Yeah, the beer's fine. That's deemed a necessity. Stan in Drexel Hill wants to talk about the Eagles draft and team names or team needs, and maybe we'll talk Plaid toilet paper with him as well. Nigel Tufnell says 2-ply is the best.
Okay,
I think I don't want to go above 2-ply. I think I agree. 2-ply, 1-ply, 3-ply, 4-ply. 4-ply is just getting crazy.
Okay.
People out there are losing their minds. We'll get into all that coming up next. You're listening to The Fanatic. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at The Fanatic is 10:40.
It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
You know this weekend's sponsors, Jamie?
Who do you got?
It's brought to you by Farron Electric. That's what this weekend's programming is brought to you by. If you have an urgent electrical issue in your home that needs attention, Farron Electric is operational, available to help. Visit farronelectric.com for emergency electrical service today.
Nice. How about
that? Good stuff from our boys at Farron Electric.
Farron Electric, other people that are still, they're still working because are essential. If somebody's heat goes down or AC when it gets warmer out, you know, those guys are still going.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to people's houses, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of essential workers out there that are doing yeoman's work, as they say. So kudos to everybody out there that's doing essential business. I mean, look, you know, like the Comcast guys, we're all streaming. Yep, we're all playing video games. They got to make sure the fiber optics are up and running to the maximum capabilities. You know, the grocery store employees, the CVS employees, you know, Rite Aids, all these people out there that are forced to go to work and not seeing, you know, a real financial bonus from any of this. So God bless them all out there that are doing this stuff.
Well, speaking of which, the station's doing something.
Yeah, the station's doing something really cool.
Really cool that I want to.
My mom's a nurse. Your wife is a nurse. I have a lot of friends that are doctors and nurses. So
I'm really happy with this. I know Coach Camille is the guy that started this. So
good on you, Coach.
Shout out to Coach for doing this because it's really cool. And so they're doing Operation the Health Heroes. So we've been doing the Operation Shop Local. We're also doing Health Heroes now. And this is during the global pandemic. Many of us are fortunate enough to stay at home and out of harm's way. However, there are those on the front lines who help keep our community a safer place day in and day out. They are the doctors, nurses, educators, custodians. We just talked about Comcast people. We talked about people who work in electric and other home services that have to fix things, all that kind of stuff. They're still working, so if there's a health hero in your life that you would like to recognize, go to 975thefanatic.com right now to nominate the health hero you would like us to highlight. Check out our webpage, our social media pages, and listen on air every day to see if your health hero will be highlighted. The cool thing is, because they all need it, every health hero will be highlighted. Highlighted will receive a $50 Dunkin' gift card.
Nice.
And listen, man, they need coffee.
Yeah.
All these people.
So Addie's good friends, a doctor over at Jefferson, and we had Skylar's ear infection kind of re-flare up on us last Sunday night, right when this was all kind of, you know, going crazy. And he was able to give us some tips and helpful information via text. And I was like, Addie, send him a La Colombe gift card. So, you know, or a Dunkin' gift card, whatever you can access.
Right.
Because these doctors, they need their caffeine and the nurses
especially
as well.
Right,
so good on you.
A buddy of mine just got matched for it. He just got his doctorate.
Right.
He's an actual doctor. Mm. He just got it. I was like, you picked a good time to get in, buddy.
Yeah, seriously. Let's talk to our buddy Drew in Westchester. He's heading down to Delaware for some supplies. What's up, Drew?
What's going on, guys?
Man, I'm jealous. I love Total Wine.
Yeah, I just hit the sign and said, welcome back to Pennsylvania. So I'm all stocked up and I'm ready to go now.
So you stocking up with the hard stuff, the beer, the wine, all of it?
Yeah, just a couple of, just a little vodka. I can't really drink the beer too much. It's too filling for
me.
Yeah,
I got you.
I like to have a couple of nightcaps every once
in
a while.
What's your go-to vodka and go-to cocktail?
I like Tito's vodka. And then
I'm a Tito's man.
Yeah, I like it with just a little iced tea, actually. Sometimes I just mix it in with a little iced tea and just give it some flavor.
Nice.
Yeah,
you know, you could go with the John Daly, throw a little lemonade in there as well.
You could do that.
It's a little drunk Arnold Palmer.
See, I'm an easy guy. I do the vodka, put a little water in, and lemon.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
my wedding drink is a double Tito's Rocks with two limes, and then it melts down. It's delicious.
Yeah, there you go, man. Good stuff. So a little sports talk, if I may. Let's talk about the baseball season. I guess, what are you guys thinking as far as games played that is realistic for getting the season in?
I
they're going to be stupid and they're going to try to play as many as they can. And
they're going to do the doubleheader Mondays.
They're going to do neutral sites for the World Series. I think it's dumb. I don't want to do that.
Is that really? I didn't even hear that.
Oh yeah, Jeff Passan was reporting it the other day. They want to play as many games as possible. So let's say they come back in June, they're still going to want to play over 100 games.
So what, are they going to go to domes for the World Series if it's like late November, early December?
Yeah, it could be domes or it could just be stadiums down south. Yeah, but here's the thing, Drew. And I keep on going to this. I don't think the Phillies are making it the World Series this year, but let's say they make it, and they're playing in Houston. And they're not playing the Astros, right? Like it's Phillies-Yankees down in Houston. Is baseball popular enough, and I said this with Anthony the other day, is baseball popular enough to fill a stadium for seven games?
Yeah.
The Super Bowl is one of the, is the biggest event of the year, and it's huge, and everybody knows the Super Bowl, and it could be Eagles-Patriots in the Super Bowl, but you know a Carolina Panthers fan is going to the Super Bowl because the bucket
would
thing.
Would I go to a World Series game if it was in Philly and it wasn't the Phillies playing? I might if the price was reasonable.
Which it won't be.
But I'm not going to break the bank to go to, let's say, Yankees... whoever the hell, Dodgers.
And baseball is going to be like, wow, this is the first time ever we're doing a neutral site, so let's really raise the prices because people are going to want to travel. I don't think...
And plus, you know, just the fact sports are back, people might be like, oh my God, get me out of the house. I'll go see anything.
Could you imagine game one of the World Series where half the stadium's empty because it's two teams that like people aren't really all that in on? Like, what if the Indians make it to the World Series and they face the Brewers?
You know what I mean? Like, but Drew, I would imagine best case we're probably looking at 110 games.
I think that's optimistic, to
be honest with you, because I do have the fear in my mind that maybe this doesn't get done.
Yeah, right.
And Drew, thanks for the call, man. Drive safe.
Yeah.
Jeff Passan also said, you know, that basically the more or less they wouldn't play in front of empty stadiums. Like, they wouldn't return until the mass gathering thing was lifted by health experts.
Manfred is a dope.
Well, yeah, he is, but...
Play the first couple games with nobody in there. Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, your television ratings would be through the roof.
Yeah, there you go. And you know what? That's where they're getting all their money from.
Yeah.
That's where they're getting all the money from. Attendance has dropped in baseball. It has dropped, right?
Yeah.
The first time sports are back and it's baseball, everybody's going to be watching it on TV.
Oh, people don't care what returns.
And then as soon as
I was about to stream sumo wrestling the other day. That's where I'm at. I was betting on Belarus soccer.
Did you really?
Yeah, I went 2-0. I hit on an Aussie rules play and I hit on a Belarus soccer play. The only two bets I've made over the last like 2.5 weeks. I do want to start betting on the weather.
I can't do it.
Hey, man. There's not a problem if they're winners.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think it's no problem.
But could you imagine, like, the first sport to return, people are going to be nuts, even if they're not a fan of that sport.
I want to give Anthony credit. He said, like, this could be the savior for baseball this year.
Oh, yeah, it really could.
It could be the first sport that's back, and it could be the first sport that's open to people to attend, and all of a sudden, baseball could get, like, a surge in people watching, and now with betting as big as it is.
Yeah.
Like, sports betting was pretty big last year. It's obviously a lot bigger this year because there's, especially around here, because there's more apps. You have the FanDuels, the DraftKings, you have all those apps. And you know, the casinos around here, there's going to be that casino by the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that baseball is now, it could be the first game back, first sport back.
Do you think NBA and NHL and NBA are done, right?
I don't think they're done yet, but I'm leaning toward that they are.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think there's still talks about whether or not they could play in July and August.
Well,
but then the problem is you have to push. Like, everything else has to move then.
You could go to the Gargano plan, which is push the NBA. They might actually have to be on that track now, because if the season does get played and it does go later, then next season might have to start even later.
I saw Bobby Marks put out, like, a story that they would still want to try to start regular time.
That's weird.
Basketball. So you're going to have, because they're using this technically as like the resting off season period.
Yeah.
Right? And then they'll play in the playoffs. It'll be like this weird playoff format. And then all of a sudden it's, all right, it's your second half of your off season.
Yeah. I got to give Anthony credit too. He was ahead of the Schefter 7 nights of draft thing way before Schefter was.
Damn right, we'll actually
play that cut coming up next. I want to get your thoughts on it because I think it's awesome.
I don't.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it next. Stan in Drexel Hill wants to talk some Eagles before the break. What's up, Stan?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Listen, Trueness, I got to give you credit, man. I heard you talking about that Tiger King thing with Ant yesterday, and bro,
am I right?
That joint is crazy.
Wild.
Like, you don't know, do you know if you actually like it? Like, I don't know if
No, it's just melting my brain.
Yes.
I hate these people.
It's so crazy because, like, I couldn't get more than 2 episodes in because I actually just pulled up to work. So, like, you know, I actually had to grab some sleep.
Right.
But I got to tell you, man, it's like almost 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, bro, do I got one more?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got meth, you got murder, you got tigers, you got guns.
Thing, man. Like, and they really, like, listen, man, like, you know, I'm a big hip-hop guy, so, you know, I know all about beef. You know what I mean? I know all about guys not liking each other and dropping diss records. Like, this is on some hip-hop beef. Like, I'm like, yo, what is happening?
And this guy thinks he's a real country artist.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Joe Exotic. Albums.
The other dude just might be a pimp. Like, I don't know what's going on with him. She might have killed her husband.
Oh, Carol probably definitely fed her husband to the tigers.
Yeah, I think she did.
I'm, like, sitting there just watching. Like, this can't be real life.
It's one of the wildest things I've ever seen, Stan.
You see, but that's why they tell you that Florida is kind of like America's basement, right? They tell you that because it's like the weirdest stuff happens down, like when you get closer down there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, it's wild, man.
I got to give you props, bro, because I definitely need to watch.
Trying to explain that show, like, because my wife, I was like, hey, I'm going to start the show. Do you want to watch? She's like, nah. I watched one episode, and I'm like, she's like, well, what is it about? And I'm like, exotic zoos, the South, guns.
I'm telling you.
Gay, meth, murder. I don't know.
There's somebody on Twitter. There was somebody on Twitter that put out a great tweet saying, why did it take me 6 episodes to think it's weird that this guy's not wearing a shirt this entire interview?
Seriously. I'm like, the girl loses her arm. Like, I'm not trying to spoil
that anything. Was wild. The first episode, I was going, what are they going to explain all these amputees?
It came back to work. In like
five days.
Yes, I'm like,
because she didn't want the zoo to look bad.
Right,
I'm that's dedication. I want her in my foxhole.
I'm talking to my lady like, yo, this is the like most bananas thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's wild.
And she's like, what is? And she said the same thing. She's like, what is it about? I'm like, some people got tigers. This person doesn't want them to have tigers.
It's so hard to explain.
Yo, craziest thing. So I had to give you props.
Yeah. So Stan, what's on your mind with the Eagles, real quick?
So with the draft, you know, I just look at it. I think Howie's going to be able to move up. At least maybe that's what I'm hoping, but I think he's going to try to nab one of these three receivers because
so do I.
If you're putting out there that you guys want to have a young receiver to grow with Wentz because you don't want to bring somebody in who might be talented but had their own, you know, set of ways, you know, like when people talk about bringing in Odell Beckham and the Julio Joneses and all that, but these are guys who have been set already, who kind of have their own routines. Whereas you can bring in a young guy who can grow Wentz. If that's the case, then you got to be targeting one of these three, right?
And absolutely. If that's
the case, then you have to be able to move up because those three are going to be gone.
Yeah, I think I think 13, Stan, is where if I'm San Francisco, look, I'm draft depleted. I don't have a lot of picks this year. I'm seriously considering moving back. Maybe 21, a third, and a future pick can get that done, something like that. But I think if you're at 13, you're going to get one of those big three. I think that absolutely has to be their plan. Like, look, I like a Jalen Reagor, whoever, at 21, but not as much as I like CeeDee Lamb at 13.
No, absolutely, and that's my point.
Yeah.
Like, those first three guys that people were talking about, those guys,
they're near can't miss. Can't find,
they damn near can't miss. And not to take it away from, you know, somebody else that might get drafted, because you're always going to find those K Metcalfs and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd rather the Eagles swing on one of these three and miss than just say
totally.
We saw somebody else that we like, and we get another JJ or Thayer Whiteside.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like,
gotcha.
I just can't deal with that.
Stan, great call, man. We're up against it. Thanks for checking in. Enjoy the rest of Tiger King. Mike and KOP is on the line. Some open lines if you want to get in next. There's some top sports games. There's somebody on Twitter came up with a field of 64.
Yeah, I'll
top
explain
games.
It. I'll explain
I don't really.
Up.
I'm going in blind to this.
Yeah,
you're leading
it.
This.
I'll explain it coming up. His name's Rob, and I'll give more information coming up. He did something pretty cool that I kind of want to just make, you know, open, let people know about it, and it's kind of cool. It's a field of 64, but it's top games in Philadelphia sports history. It's
nice,
kind of cool.
Yeah, I want to touch on the Alshon thing, what you think about that, and we'll also touch on what Kirk Herbstreit had to say and the Adam Schefter NFL draft plan, which is stolen from the Gargano plan, which we'll get into coming up next as well. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 10:57.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas in with you for another hour before D-Line'em takes over, taking you to 3 o'clock. Andrew's got the house to himself today. Big plans.
What, moving by myself? Huge plans.
Yeah, but the quarantine's got everybody going a little crazy on lockdown. I'm trying to push the Ozark on you, and you and Chrissy, I think you'd like it. So I think that's...
I wish you wouldn't.
No?
No, I'm telling you, dude. I can't watch anything serious right now. That's what she says. She says that even when there is no global pandemic.
Yeah.
She goes, I can't watch something that I have to think about. Like, I don't want to focus. I'm like, okay.
So I watch these shows when she's not around.
Is she on the phone, just kind of zone out?
Yeah. So today I could watch it if I end up not like moving.
Is it raining out?
It was when we were coming in. I mean, there's no windows in this
place. By the way, even during a pandemic when there's not as many people on the road, you still have these people driving in today. I'm on 76 for maybe, you know, from basically Center City to Bala Cynwyd. It's not very far.
No.
80% of the people were driving in the left lane and not passing anyone. Still, there's no cars on the road. And literally, I got on the Vine Street Expressway across the city, and 90% of the cars were in the left lane, not passing anybody. I flew in the, I mean, you know, not flew, but I passed all these people in the left lane, in the right lane the entire way. 76 in the, stop driving in the left lane if you're not passing anyone. Why is this so difficult to understand?
People don't know how to drive.
It makes me insane.
People don't know how to drive.
You cause traffic when it's a normal amount of people on the road, and you make it more dangerous for the people that are trying to get around you. You're a drain on society if you drive in the left lane and aren't passing anybody. You drive right and you pass left. Was this explained to you when you started driving? I feel like most people, it's not explained to.
Yes.
It was.
I learned that, yes. And there's signs on the highways sometimes that say that.
I think Jersey has signs, PA doesn't.
Oh, okay.
If I'm not mistaken. But these people, my God, stop it. This is my PSA. This is my the Jamie Lynch PSA, the more you know. Stop driving in the left lane.
All right, thank you for that.
God, it drives me nuts.
We have a toilet paper pull up. At a Salchunas 975, Jamie, you're tagged in it.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of hate on the 4-ply, which I respect.
Which I respect as well.
Somebody said it's a plumber's best friend.
Would you rather go normal single ply or 4-ply?
Oh, single ply all the way.
Normal single ply, 66% of the vote.
Wow.
And 4-ply, 34%.
Good for you,
and a
people.
A lot of people are right. Now, there's some creeps out there, like Ryan, who says no wipe.
Oh, okay. I had a buddy in college that used to hop in the shower.
That's disgusting.
I was like, dude, I'm never using your bathroom.
Is he your friend?
Yeah.
Is he still your friend?
Yeah, but he lives out west now. I don't talk to him as much. I mean, he's still in a fantasy football league of mine.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't allow him in my fantasy football league. I'd be afraid that I'd get some pink eye through the live draft.
It's disgusting.
No, dude. Oh, God.
I know.
He's your friend?
Well, yeah.
Anyways, Jason Voorhees says he only goes with the wipes.
Those aren't good for the plumbing systems.
Okay.
That's the problem with those. You can't go wipe 100% of the time. So, no, you know, these are the hard-hitting questions.
These are big
during the toilet paper crisis of 2020.
Now, the big thing that I want to bring up was something that, something pretty cool on Twitter going on right now.
Yeah, explain this to me.
Where is it at?
Oh, come on.
Well, I mean, the toilet paper tweets. Here it is.
Oh, jeez.
This is from Rob Manoff, and he put out a field of 64.
That's been very popular these days.
Yes. He's doing the best games of all time.
Philadelphia best games of all time.
So I want to
now, has he already completed this, or is it up for voting?
It's up for voting, so check him out on Twitter, at ManoffR.
Why don't you just retweet it and make it easier for the people?
Yeah, RM. Okay, I'll do that.
Boomer. Go find this guy on just retweet
anyways,
it.
So he's down to the Elite Eight right now.
All right. But are you just going to run through?
Yeah, I want to go through the beginning.
All right.
Roy Halladay's perfect game.
It's pretty awesome.
Versus TJ McConnell's game winner versus the Knicks.
Come on.
That was a great game.
No, it was cool, but like we're talking about a perfect game.
Perfect game wins.
That should be a Final Four, probably.
Phillies Nationals. Now, I apologize. This gets cut off.
Oh, jeez.
I only see 2000. But Phillies Nationals, I'm going to guess 2007. I'm going to guess final game of the season versus Flyers Bruins, game 7. Where would you go?
Flyers Brewers game 7 versus Flyers and Bruins.
Yeah, because it was a playoff game.
But
that day was amazing. Game 162 in 2007. 4th and 26, Eagles Packers.
Ooh.
Versus Ben Simmons 34-point triple-double. You go 4th and 26 playoffs.
These first round matchups are tough.
Well, yeah, exactly. Korkmaz's game winner against the Portland Trailblazers or the Miracle at the Meadowlands.
Come on.
So you're going Miracle.
No, I'm going Korkmaz.
I thought so. So you voted where everybody else voted.
Yeah, I mean, those were the gimmies.
And for the most part, it was all unanimous, except for the Phillies, Nationals, Flyers, Bruins. It's pretty close. So now you go Roy's perfect game versus Flyers, Bruins, game 7.
Ooh.
Now this is where it gets tough.
That's tough.
I mean, perfect game.
That's like one of the best comebacks in Philly history versus one of the few perfect games in Philly's history.
Yeah, when's the last time that's the only perfect game in Philly's history you would have seen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I mean, I guess I got to go with the once-in-a-lifetime thing for me.
But is that comeback once-in-a-lifetime almost?
Yeah, it might be.
You saw Red Sox-Yankees.
Damn. Right? All right, gun to my head. I don't want to mill on this too long.
And this is playoffs, which is bigger than a Phillies-Marlins game in May.
Man, that Flyers-Bruins series was awesome. I'll go because of the playoff ramifications of it. I'll go Flyers-Bruins.
I think I would agree with you, but the only, like, maybe it's hindsight. I know that they didn't win. Like, they didn't win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So I go, wow, once in a lifetime, perfect game.
Damn, that's a tough one.
So I might actually lean Halliday.
Well, and you're a baseball porn man, so. Yeah.
Which actually won. The Halliday won.
Did it really?
Yeah. 4th and 26 versus Miracle at the Meadowlands.
Oof.
Tough.
Miracle at the
Meadowlands. Once a playoff game.
Are we talking original Miracle at the Meadowlands?
It doesn't say.
Because there's three.
Yeah.
There's the Westbrook punt return, the D-Jack punt return,
and the Herm Edwards. I'm going to guess the DeSean Jackson one, because that's the most famous one. Especially for...
It's not the original. Can you be the most famous? I mean, it's probably the most...
For people on Twitter, too.
Yeah. I would go Miracle.
You know what? He has two on there, but it gets cut off.
But Miracle of the Meadowlands 2 is the Westbrook punt return, which won the game.
Yeah, which was pretty cool.
Which was pretty awesome. I remember exactly where I was for that. Wait, who are they up against again here?
Against 4th and 26.
That was the playoffs.
I think I want to go 4th and 26. Because if...
But did that Westbrook punt return save the season?
Yeah.
He salvaged the season. Like,
so
if you lost that...
4th and 26. If you lost that game, season over.
Man, this is tough.
I'm going 4th and 26.
I mean, it's iconic in the franchise history.
Yeah.
But so is the other one.
Oh, man, Fred X.
Ugh. I'm going Miracle of the Meadowlands.
Okay. And then Roy Halladay's perfect game versus Miracle of the Meadowlands. What are you doing for this region?
4th and 26.
You said you didn't take 4th and 26.
I mean, I'm sorry. Miracle of the Meadowlands. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's one region.
Let's
get to a couple calls, and then I'll give you some more.
And I got to run the draft thing by you, and we got to play what Howie Roseman had to say about Alshon Jeffrey as well. Let's go to a ray of sunshine. Our buddy Mike in KOP. What's up, Mike?
Hey, I'm a ray of sunshine on a cloudy day.
Exactly. That's what everybody always says about you, Mike.
First of all, it's got to be Westbrook. I'm never rooting for Freddie Mitchell on anything. Freddie Mitchell is a scumbag. So it's definitely Westbrook. He saved an entire season with one punt return.
Yeah, he really did.
Plus,
he's a scholar and a gentleman.
Yeah, I want to call out my wife.
Nice.
You really
air her out, Mike. Let's go.
You find out who you're married to when you're stuck quarantined for weeks on end.
Uh-oh.
So we started Tiger King together, and we watched an episode. We went to bed. We both worked from home, so she worked upstairs, and I was on a lot of conference calls, so I worked downstairs. So that night, after everything's said and done, and we kind of come back together, like, let's watch Tiger King. She's like, oh, I finished it.
I respect her. I totally respect her, Mike.
That is
as miserable
move.
As you come off on this radio station.
I agree.
Every Saturday.
Scumbag move.
I respect what your wife did. You should have had the wherewithal to do it yourself.
No, here's the thing. If you do it, Mike, you have to lie about it and rewatch and act like it's new again.
He came downstairs all proud like a peacock, like, hey, guess what I finished in your face. I was like, you...
No, Mike, it's a scumbag move to anyone but you. But because she did it to you, I applaud her.
I see where Andrew's coming from. That's actually good insight.
I mean, talk about...
She's had enough of you, Mike. She's watched. She's forging on without you.
She said, I know how to get back at this guy.
I literally was like, you know what? I gotta call that, like, attorney for men. And see,
Cordell and Cordell?
Yeah, Cordell, because he's only met in Missouri, you know what I mean?
But Michelle Ferrer is in New Jersey. She's licensed in your state.
I was very upset. I'm very upset.
That's okay.
I just want to say, I think you're going to, I know as much as we want Howie to go up and get one of these top three, I think you're going to be hard-pressed to pull that off. There are so many teams in front of you that are desperate for wide receivers.
I don't think it's as desperate as you think it is. I think if you get to 13, you're getting one of those top three.
I was looking through the list, and there was like the Giants could take a wide receiver to pair with, and they're at four. Like, there's so many teams.
They need offense. If they were smart, they'd go offensive line.
Yeah, but they're the Giants.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point.
So you're going to, the cost to go up, they know you need a wide receiver. They're going to
they're going to just tear you apart.
That was my one problem with not signing a free agent wide receiver was just to have that decoy kind of signing, so your desperation for the wide receiver in the draft wasn't as transparent.
They reek of desperation.
Yeah, they
do
kind of.
They're going to get so exploited. And I'm almost to the point, because you have so many holes on this team that you need to fill, that you might just have to stay at 21 and just... Whatever falls to you, falls to you.
Yeah, I hear you.
You can't give up the farm. Besides, their track record of drafting receivers, you give away the farm and the guy doesn't pan out.
Mike, this is the J.J. Arcega-Whiteside bust-out year. And thanks for the call. Your wife is awesome. You swayed me. Once you said that she was doing it to get
if
back
Christy
at him.
If Christy did it to me, it's a total scumbag
I've
move.
Done it to Addy, but then I lied about it and just continued watching like I didn't know.
Yeah, I've done that before.
And she's done it to me a couple times. But you have to be in communication. It's a fine line. Like if Addie, because she stays up later than me, I'll say, and then I'm home during the day when she's not, I'll say, hey, if you want to watch the next episode, do that, and then I'll watch it tomorrow afternoon, and we can kind of pick back up.
And you mean to tell me Mike didn't...
TV takes work.
Tell me he wasn't curious once to see how his wife's doing, because they're working in two different rooms in the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
During that 9-hour day, he didn't at one point say, let me go check on my wife.
If you were Mrs. Mike, would you want to go check on him?
No, but
exactly.
But if Christy and I had jobs where we worked from home, I'd probably take a lunch break to go see how she's doing.
Yeah,
and I'd walk in, she's watching Tiger King, I'd be like, go on. But Mike messed up there.
Yeah. Hey, let's Rob, the guy that started this Twitter bracket of 64 best games, is on the line with us. Rob Manoff, was that his last name?
Yes.
Rob, lovely idea there to kill some time on Twitter during this downtime. What's going on today, man? Ah, geez, the buildup, and he's not there. Rob, you there?
Take us off mute, man.
Did you fat cheek the mute button, Rob? Yeah, there we go.
There it goes.
My phone was in my pocket.
What's up, Rob?
What's going on? So
not much. Nice idea.
I give you credit, and you go on phone in your pocket.
I'm in my basement.
Nice. So nice idea with this was Field of 64. So you just came up with the best 64 games in Philly history.
We only did 32.
Oh, you did 32. Okay.
We did from 2000 on.
Okay.
Because I just think, I don't know, most people remember them better.
Like, yeah, had, like, you know, that's a good idea.
We had the Flyers beating Russia. We had all that, but it's so long ago.
So let me ask you real quick, so we can clarify, which Miracle at the Meadowlands was which? Because it gets cut off.
There's two.
Yes.
And I learned that it was getting cut off too late. So there's one... What was the matchup? Let me see.
The Cork Moz versus Miracle at the Meadowlands. Don't know which one that is.
So that should be 2010.
Okay.
And then the other Miracle Medal on the other bracket is 2003.
Okay, that's the Westbrook one. All right.
Yes.
All right, so when we continue doing this, I'll know which one's which.
And then we did no Super Bowl, because I figured that's a lot.
Yeah, that's chalk. That's going to win no matter what.
And no World Series games. So, like, game five, for instance, isn't on there.
That's smart. Yeah, because you know it'll come down to those all the time.
The only championship game we had in there was the Nova buzzer beater.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one. But you're not going to get you're not going to get a lot of non-Villanova fan support on that.
I think I put it like a 5 or 6 seed or something.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
So, and I'm also like a geek when it comes to the Sixers. So TJ and the Furkan games and I threw in there just because it's
kind of sad that those even made the cut, right?
Well, yeah, because there's nothing else.
Yeah, I know.
I can show you the list that we have. I blog for a site, and then I can show you the list.
What's the site? Throw yourself a bone there. Yeah.
YellowJacketNetwork.com.
Oh yeah, yeah, sure. I've been on with Mr. Crockpot and some of those guys before on the podcast. So yeah, nice. Yeah.
They actually hooked me up. I was supposed to cover the Sixers last night. It was going to be my third game.
Oh, so, bummer.
Virus, right? But yeah, most of the stuff, man, they had some great ones from like back in the day. But, you know, going back to the 60s, 70s,
80s. Throw out your handle, Rob, in case some people want to go out and vote.
So I'm at ManoffRM on Twitter. You can go to YellowJacketNetwork.com. You can see the first round. I did little articles for.
Okay, nice.
Every round that I do, every matchup I do, will be followed by YouTube clips. So some of them are full games. Some of them are highlights. I think there's a documentary on one of them.
Nice.
So So I wasted a couple hours.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a good thing to kill some time during the quarantine. Rob, thanks for checking in with us, man. Well, hopefully we'll send some people over and check it out.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Stay safe out there, Rob.
Now let me ask you, does it change your mind because you had 4th-and-26 against the B West Miracle at the Meadows?
So this is the Deshaun?
This is the Deshaun one.
Oof.
Now, again, incredible.
B West was actually the bigger one because it saved the season.
Yeah. Not as crazy as a game.
Yeah.
Remember, it was like a...
Oh, it was a crazy comeback.
But they were... No, yeah, that one was a crazy comeback. They were losing like 10-7 against the Giants. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like a high score.
No, it was a very low scoring game. But that's literally saved the season. So this is Deshaun versus 4th-and-26.
Which is Deshaun versus a playoff game.
I got to go 4th-and-26.
So you got 4th-and-26.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do I. And I went with that over B West.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go to Josh in Audubon. Wants to talk about the poll we were just talking about. What's going on, Josh?
Yeah. I'm a little surprised about how unsure we are about the 4th-and-26 versus anything else, or those two that you were bringing up.
Do you have that as like a top ever?
I think that's a shoo-in as far as the matchups you're talking about right now. Because you got to think, like, yes, the B West one saved the season. I think we were 0-2, but that's week three. You're talking about 4th-and-26, and you got to understand the situation. Like, we had just lost three straight NFC.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
We finally get there. T.O. breaks his leg. You know, we're at home, and it's like, here we go again. And, like, not only what transpired up to that play and the actual play, but we were still losing. Akers had to kick like a 40-yarder and swirling wind just to tie the game.
Yeah.
Then we go to overtime with the old overtime rules. They win the toss. And it's like, here we go. You know what I mean? Like,
and then Brett Favre just throws one up.
That was the Dawkins interception.
That was the easiest interception of Brian Dawkins' life.
Yeah. As soon as he threw it up, like, the only thing you were worried about is, like, you're so wide open. Like, you might actually drop this.
As soon as he released the ball, I was like, who the hell is he throwing that to? Is Brett Favre on painkillers again?
Bubba Franks downfield wide open. Do I go this way?
I remember, you know, I didn't call it, but, you know, specifically that play. But it's like, all right, Favre's either going to win this on a bomb or he's going to do something so stupid. It's like, oh, that's Brett Favre. And, you know, we've seen it later in his career with the Vikings as well. But that's so funny.
Yeah, but that was that has to be the most bizarre play of Brett Favre's career. Did we ever get, like, the real story on that? Was there a miscommunication between him and a wide receiver or something? Or was he just giving up?
Maybe there's, like, an NFL Films or something.
Yeah,
like
that was really bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I mean, the 4th-and-26 deserves more respect there.
Just because what we
All right,
went
so let me ask you, Josh, 4th-and-26 versus Halliday's perfect game.
No, I'm still going 4th-and-26. Okay. I mean, Halliday's perfect game, you got to understand as well. So Halliday's perfect game, like, I'm not even a big hockey fan, but I was watching the Flyers playoffs.
Yeah, it was game one of the Flyers.
So it wasn't until, like, the sixth inning or seventh inning when my friend was like, hey, don't want to, you know, mess this up, but maybe you should turn on the Phillies. And I'm like, and I'm a huge Phillies fan at the time. I'm like, well, why am I turning it on? I'm watching the Flyers.
Yeah. I remember that dilemma.
You know what I mean? So I doubt even the diehard Phillies fans, like, watched a lot of those people watch that game from start to finish.
Yeah, it's a good point. And Josh, thanks for the call, man. Great call.
Now, here's one I want to ask you about.
That's a fair point, though. Yeah. Like, if you had the remote in your hands that day, you're probably watching Game 7 Flyers-Bruins instead of Doc Holliday's
perfect
game.
No, it was Game 1 Flyers-Black.
Oh, it was Game 1.
Yeah, it wasn't Game 1.
Oh, it was Game 1. Okay, yeah. But you're still probably watching the Cup over Doc.
Did you hear, I told the story on Middays with Anthony when we were at the Maxwell Club Awards.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that Holliday was throwing the perfect game. I was flipping back and forth. That was big Phillies.
Didn't you call your dad or something?
I didn't call my dad.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't want to call my dad because I didn't want to
jinx it. Baseball superstitious fool you.
So the second Juan Castro makes that diving play and throws it to Howard.
Juan Castro.
The second that final out happens, I call my dad. And I go, were you watching the Phillies? He goes, no, why?
Oh,
I was like,
geez.
I'm sorry, Dad. I couldn't do it.
Oh.
And he was watching Game 1 Flyers Blackhawks at like a neighbor parent party.
Do you have regrets about it?
Yeah, I feel bad. But then again, Jamie, if I did
call... because you guys, I'm sure, grew up, baseball was your thing. Yes. Yeah, it's a big bonding moment.
Jamie, if I called him...
Your call has no... This is like the people that say, oh, your tweet just mushed the Flyers. My tweet has nothing to do with the Flyers.
Jamie, if I called him, he would have given up like 6 straight home runs.
No, he wouldn't have. Doc Holliday would not have gone, oh my God, Andrew just called his dad. I'm going to throw this ball right as a cookie down the middle. No, stop thinking like that. It's
wouldn't
stupid.
Do that. It would just happen to be a cookie down the middle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, the ping goes off and Doc, he's in serial killer, super focused mode. And he goes, oh, is that a ping from a cell tower? Did Andrew Salchunas just call Mr. Salchunas? Well, I'm going to throw the rest of this game. Come on, stop thinking like that. It's ridiculous.
Anyway, sorry, Dad. do you go Halliday's perfect game or his playoff no-hitter?
Playoff no-hitter.
I agree.
Yeah, because it's the playoffs.
Yeah, and it's like that.
That's
really
ridiculous.
That never happens.
No, I mean, how many? There's six all-time or something?
I don't know.
I mean, I think Don Larson's got like three of them. Let's sneak in Tasty Cake Dom as Andrew goes to baseballpornhub.com. Dom, what's going on?
Hey, James. Hey, Andrew. First of all, thank you guys for doing the show today. Because
you got on the roads today, Dom?
Yeah, there's people like it's uncomfortable working when people are passing you with gas masks on and
it's pretty surreal out there.
Yeah.
Hey, so Dom, what's this new peach cobbler you're telling me about? Is that good, huh?
It's not even on the shelf yet. When I get it, I got to bring it to you and Aunt and Andrew, Bobby. It's a peach cobbler honey bun.
Oh, I love the honey bun.
Yeah, I'm a big
honey
really
bun guy. It's
really good, Jane. All right. I'll look out for that, Dom.
Well, you'll get it.
I'm going to hold you to that. I'm a honey bun man.
And Andrew, the peach cobbler honey bun does not have a Lakers emblem on it.
Oh, so I can eat that one. I never got the Anthony Davis chips. I couldn't find them at my local Acme. But if I did, I would have gotten them.
You believe it, Shane? He's buying chips. He's buying the night of the Lakers game. He's buying chips with a Lakers emblem on it.
No, I don't care. If they taste good, I would have bought them. I just couldn't find them.
I sent Ann a picture of hers immediately after that. Hers came out with a 76er potato chip.
What were they, though? It was like chili lime, or I forget what the flavor was.
I wanted to burn them, Andrew. I didn't want to eat
them. Yeah, that stuff doesn't bother me.
I chastised the Fredo guys putting up a display. You can't put, like, it was near my Tasty Cake rack. I said, I'm not looking at a Lakers emblem.
Burn this mother down.
Anthony almost came into the studio and beat me up because I said if I actually did like Campbell's Chunky Noodle Soup, which I don't love the chunk, I would eat it even though Dak Prescott's a spokesperson.
So would I.
If it was my favorite food, I would eat it.
Yeah, of course.
No, I got crushed for it.
Oh.
You can't eat Dak Prescott's food.
Like Dak was in the lab cooking it up.
The last guy, I don't think that 4th and 26 was 04. I think it was Carolina, right?
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was right before Carolina.
My chronology with years sucks. Let's see.
Well, I think it was
It was 2004, but it was a 2003 season January.
That was the Dawkins Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So I just really want to quickly explain the miracle of that because I'm an old man.
Mm-hmm.
That's the miracle. Like,
you're not that old,
Jackson
Dom.
And Brian Wisbrek are both elite punt returners.
Mm-hmm.
The miracle of the Meadowlands, James, the Eagles had no timeouts. All the Giants got to do is take a knee, and they run the frickin' ball out off top of it. And it pops out, and Herm Edwards gets it.
Yeah.
That's an unbelievable.
Like, that's a game I want to go back and watch.
Yeah.
In its entirety. Because I've talked about it my entire life, but I've never actually sat down. And Dom, thanks for the call, buddy. We're up against it. That's a game I should go back and watch in its entirety. The problem is I got to break away from Addy and the baby to do these types of things, so I'm screwed.
The weird thing that like these networks are doing, like MLB Network, and I told you, I've been watching these games. They did 1996 Yankees-Indians.
And
it wasn't the playoff series. It was Derek Jeter's first career home run.
Is this Albert Bell and Kenny Lofton?
Yep, all those guys.
Carlos Baerga?
Yep,
I used to love Baerga.
Jim Tomei was at
and
third
Alomar.
Base. At Alomar's the catcher.
Wait, Tomei played third?
Yeah, when he came up in the league, he's a third baseman.
I kind of blacked out about that, but you're right.
He started
third.
But like the weird thing was, it's like, all right, this is Derek Jeter's first home run game. So you're watching the whole 3 hours.
Waiting for one home run.
Yeah. Now, as a baseball nut, I'm like, all right, I want to watch the game anyway.
Oh, you got the candles lit, the Barry Green on in the back. Barry Green, Barry White.
I got my cigarettes waiting just for Jeter hits that home run.
You're
like,
in a robe. Oh, yeah.
But it's like, it's weird right now that it's like,
yeah
let's play this. So the Miracle at the Meadowlands thing, we all know the one play, but you want to watch the whole thing. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. Awesome. Coming up next, we'll get to Dennis and Jeff.
Only two no-hitters in the playoffs.
Only two? Okay, wow.
Larson threw a perfect game. Halliday threw the no-hitter.
Wow. See, I thought it was like six for some. That makes it even more special. Having a good time on this Saturday. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 11:27.
The Fanatic.
Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas, D-Line, I'm coming up next, taking you to 3 o'clock. So you got another, before we dive into the idea of the Gargano plan, the seven nights and the Schefter plan, the seven nights of the draft, why don't you hit me with another bracket here?
Yeah, this is another region, and again, it was Rob Manoff who put it together, and he did it since 2000.
Yes, so which is fine. It was
how
his
come,
problem.
How come the Phillies 1980 or Phillies 1993 did all 2000 on
1953? Yeah. The Whiz Kid. I don't even know.
How come Chuck Bednarik isn't in there? Here's another region. This is just chalk. 2017 NFC Championship game versus Fultz's triple double. Fultz's triple double got votes.
Really?
I don't know how.
Some of these Sixer only people.
Yeah, they're insane.
Sixers Twitter gets a bit nuts.
Yeah, they're insane.
Yeah.
They're insane. It's a cult.
Yeah.
So, 2017 NFC Championship
bro,
game.
Bro, yeah. It's a cult.
And then this is weird. So, Fultz gets votes. And then the next one, there's no votes for the double doink. But it was double doink versus Nova winning the national championship game. Now,
Doink didn't get any votes?
Didn't get any votes.
What?
Now, I would vote Nova in this.
Yeah. But double doink deserves some
exactly,
votes.
That's what I thought.
Fultz is triple-double. Get the hell out of here.
The McNabb broken ankle game. Which
that was awesome.
Is that Carolina?
Arizona,
sorry.
I want to say four touchdowns?
Yes.
But McNabb was soft.
Against Eagles 44-6 over Dallas.
Ooh, that's actually kind of tough.
I go 44-6 because it got them into the playoffs. It was that final week.
And you literally ripped the Dumb and Dumber scene, ripped the heart out of the chest, put it in a doggy bag and handed it to them.
Yeah. And remember, you need Michael Bush or the Michael Bush Raiders game.
You know Michael Bush is Ben Simmons' brother-in-law?
Yes.
I found
that out this week.
Really?
We were talking about, I had no idea. We were talking about that final week and we had B. West on to talk about the game. So he played in it.
Yeah.
And then he brought up Michael Bush, and then he said Ben Simmons' brother-in-law. I was like, what?
So Clutch Sports, who Ben Simmons is repped by, Rich Paul, and they were smart. They recruited, because Ben Simmons' sister did work in, she met Michael Bush because she was working in some form of sports agency. I don't know if she represented him, worked for the firm that represented him when he was playing, whatever. They met, got married, and all that. Clutch Sports, when Ben was either in high school, I think in high school, recruited her to come work for their firm.
Oh, really? Which sisters? Is the Liv or the
no, other? Not Liv. Okay. The other one. Okay. I guess his stepsister, technically. Yeah. So Clutch Sports hired her, therefore, getting Ben Simmons.
Right.
So yes, Ben Simmons and Michael Bush are brother-in-laws. Random as hell.
So where are you going? 44-6 or McNabb broken ankle?
See, I love the McNabb broken ankle, but I'd probably go 44-6.
Embiid dropping 46 against the Lakers.
Ooh.
Or Roy's no-hitter in the playoffs.
Roy's no-hitter. Yeah, it's one of two ever.
And then now...
It's kind of sad, the more you go through these, the Sixers highlights that we have really aren't that cool.
No, you're right, because it's like...
They don't have anything like...
Like, you could do their first series with Brett Brown where they win, but because Brett Brown has such a bad taste in everyone's mouth...
Think about the games we've gone through. A Korkmaz three-point game, a Fultz triple-double... Joel Embiid randomly having 46 points
TJ beating the Knicks.
Yeah, in a random NBA regular season game. Like, that's kind of sad.
Now, I'm trying to see. Okay, so he does have Sixers Raptors 0-1 because he started 2000.
Okay, yeah.
I
feel like there could be better moments.
But he didn't do championships, so you can't do Iverson step over because he didn't do any championship
games. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right, so that's
kind of... These Sixers plays are kind of depressing.
It is depressing because from... Oh, because after they made it to the finals in 2001,
it was a lot of...
You weren't... I was young, but were people expecting, a repeat of them getting back to the finals the next year? Were people expecting that? Or were people this was more so a magical run and they're not going to get back?
Yeah.
I was too young, so I don't know what people were saying back then. Do you remember? Do you recall the 2001-2002 season? Did you think they were going to get back to the NBA finals?
Kinda.
Okay.
Just because you had Iverson, who was he was a one-man show.
When they didn't, right? Now it's 3-0-4, 0-4-0-5. Now you're post-Iverson.
Kind of, but not really. I'd love to go back and see the 2002 odds to win the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Yes. I would imagine they were a top three team, probably with Indiana and maybe the Raptors, but whatever. Yeah. Kind of depressing, man. These Sixers plays are bumming me out.
Let's see. They were a 6 seed that following year.
Yeah.
And they lost to
Boston. I bet they were higher odds.
They lost to Boston in the first round. preseason championship odds plus 1,000. According to basketball Pornhub reference. My other favorite website.
Yeah. Yeah, man, this Sixer stuff is kind of bumming me out. All right,
their roster stinks.
Yeah. That's what made this season so depressing.
Yeah, I know.
Because you really thought, like
this was a legit roster.
This was the legit year. And look,
they fell apart.
It's not over. Like, they'll still be good next year.
Yeah, you can't say, like, blow it up.
But no, not at all.
You can't say bring in a new coach and see what happens.
And do you think that's going to happen?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people on Sixers Twitter are just like, care. Oh, no, this better not mean another year, Brett.
There's no way.
I don't think they can do that.
They can't. They know where this season was heading. They knew the direction of this team. And it was sixth seed. They never went on that run. Remember, we kept on. How many Saturday shows did we do saying, oh, this is when the run happened?
Yeah.
It's this stretch.
Yeah, this is a bad 12 game stretch. They can go 10-2.
And it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Now, that stretch never ended up happening because the season got.
At the same time, they were never on the. I wonder how many games that starters actually played together this year. 18, 20?
I don't know, man. But
why does it always happen here?
I don't know.
Why?
They never had more than a 4-game winning streak this year, Jamie.
Jeez.
And it happened once.
That's pathetic. Let's go to Dennis and Ben Salem. We'll get back to some of that. What's going on, Dennis?
Jamie, how you been, brother?
I'm good, man. It's been a while. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I'm driving home from running some errands, and I heard Dom on. I'm like, wait, is it 5:30 in the morning? I'm on the way to work. Let me call in. Yeah, I actually called to talk about 4th and 26.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got like 6,000 things against the wall today. Go for it.
Yeah, but now I'm hearing this, and I'm like, that 44-6 game was amazing.
It was incredible.
Donovan's broken ankle game. I mean, that was the game we learned, wait a minute, maybe he doesn't have to scramble. Maybe he can just sit in the pocket and pick teams apart all day long. Man, these are some great games we're talking about.
Yeah, that broken ankle game was kind of had like a little special place in my heart.
Yeah, I mean, me too. I was just, it was shocking.
The man threw four touchdowns on a broken ankle.
I mean, it was just, it's probably Donovan's best game ever.
Probably,
It's because for people who, didn't hate Donovan for whatever reason, it showed the man's just genuinely a good quarterback. It was such an amazing game. I would love to talk to Tiger Bone.
Here in way to explain it. It's so bonkers you can't even get your head around it.
Yeah, that's what she's saying. But she loves it.
Because it's unlike anything you've ever seen.
It's not like something I don't know that I ever want to see. It sounds like a really bad acid trip.
It kind of is. I've never done acid, but I would imagine it's probably something similar to that.
From everything I've heard, this is exactly what it sounds like.
It's what I do.
Oh, did we just lost him?
I think we lost him. Yeah, we lost him. Dennis, good to hear from you, buddy. It's been a while. What was that drop?
What was that drop, dude? What was that? I didn't hear it.
Let's hit me one more time with that, Jeff.
I beat drug test. It's what I do.
I know I can talk. I wanted to play the clip.
What is that from?
Blue Mountain State, Thad Castle.
This is a show I've never. You're a huge Blue. Was it you? Somebody here is a huge. Well, it's Pat Egan, I think.
Time
Pat
for
Egan.
Bed. That means you. No, hot girls. No.
I watched it in college, and it was awesome.
But I've never seen it.
But I watched it once.
Okay. I think Egan's maybe a huge fan. It appears Josh is, too. I've never seen it.
Got matching tattoos.
Who did?
Egan and Josh.
Is it something I should watch? It's going to be really low on my TV viewing.
You know what? To kill some time, you will laugh. It's so stupid.
This is the one where they put the Oreo between their butt cheeks and have to run the 100 yards without it breaking or something.
100% that is Jamie's humor. You would love that show.
Dude, you'll love it. All right. It's basically like a mock Varsity Blues college program.
Well, watch it. Have a few drinks. 10 o'clock at night. Boom.
This isn't one I can watch with the missus, can I?
I think you'll like it more if she's not watching it.
Okay. All right. Jeff and Camden, we'll get you coming up next. You're listening to Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas. Time with the Fanatics, 11:41.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.